kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Ball squad, ball squad, shoot for the skill shot, it's a house ball. Ball squad, ball squad, shoot the green like a mock jackpot. Mike is the simulator, Mel is the sin. Show with the milky voice, damage the U buffet. Ball squad, ball squad, with a ball squad.
What's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. We have a really, really fun show lined up. Joining me to start off the show, guest co-host Grant Henry. How are you doing?
Guest co-host.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Well, I'm good, buddy.
You're not good. A permanent co-host, so we can't go that far.
Oh, you're saying that you're keeping me at arm's length. I see. Okay, so no, I'm...
You don't want to get close to me, Grant.
Oh, is that what it is? Oh,
you have something called a life, and you're busy.
Oh, I thought you meant for other reasons. Okay, understood. Hold on, I got to write all this down.
Yeah, get a pen.
Pleasure to be here. Pleasure to be here.
And you're not here alone. There's always a reason that you're here, right?
Yeah.
It's always pinball related, right?
Is it? I didn't notice.
I'm trying to think. I believe every appearance you've been on, pinball has come up.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. It's fine with me, man.
Rejoining the show from Farsight Studios, Mike Lindsay. How are you doing today?
Doing great. What's up, guys?
Not much. How's it been?
It's been good. We had the Big Bear Pinball League Finals last night, and I took second place, so I'm still pretty stoked.
Whoa,
about that.
That's awesome. Buddy.
Nice.
So how do you guys do, I know there's different ways to play, but do you do the thing where during the last round, you take turns picking the game you play?
Yeah, it kind of works that way. Like, the person that is in first place in the league gets the most picks.
Yeah.
And there's four qualifiers in each division.
Gotcha. Oh. So what was your pick for the last round?
I went for Stern Star Trek.
Cool.
Yeah.
Love that game. That's in Stern Pinball Arcade, if I'm not mistaken. I've played it a lot. What did you lose to? What was the game that you wanted to kick?
There were five rounds. The first round is all four of the people in the division. We all play against each other. And I won that one. And then the second round was a one-on-one versus someone else, and totally lost that one. And then I won one, and then I lost one, and then I lost the last one. But I got some bonus points on the ones that I won, so it kept me in second place.
That's awesome.
It was nice. Winning 2 out of 5 is pretty good.
It's okay.
Hey, nothing wrong with silver, man.
Yeah, I got silver. I got third last time.
It's all about improving. Next time, you're winning that son of a bitch.
That's right.
So what kind of tournaments do you go to? Are all of them like that? Because I've never been to a pinball tournament myself. I'm not sure how they're run, how they're handled.
I'm actually not sure how other tournaments are handled. This is our league that we run ourselves. So all I know is what we do. We use the FSPA rule set. And it's groups of four every other Wednesday. And then everyone moves up a ladder, and then at the end it qualifies for people qualify for divisions, and then we battle it out at Farsight Studios.
Wow.
Awesome.
For the final thing, we throw a big party.
Super cool. You should stream one of those at some point or something. Figure out how
I think we will. Maybe next one we'll stream it.
Get the gear together. I'll talk trash about everybody except for you. I'll be on your team.
Okay.
Grant, you could be the music.
Yeah, that's right. You could be live.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. You there. You could play an acoustic set.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
Yeah, that actually would be. I don't know if the venue's big enough for you, though.
Like, I'll just play ukulele. It'd be fine.
Okay.
Ukulele. Oh, man. So what's going on? Any big news in the world of the pinball arcade that someone may have missed over the past, I don't know, 2-3 months?
Yeah, some super huge news. So, WMS, the holders of the Bally Williams license, they decided to go a different direction. So, we only have I think it's 2 days left before we have to pull all of our Bally Williams stuff out of all platforms.
Yeah, it's end of the month. It's like right here. I'm glad we could sneak this meetup in before.
Yeah, definitely good timing just to get the word out.
Yeah, like what led to that? Is it just they want to work with a new developer, or they want to get out of gaming in general, or is it just stuff that can't really be talked about?
Well, we don't know, actually. So we've had the license with them for over a decade, and every year we just renew very easily. It's just a routine thing. And then this year, it took a little bit longer for them to get back to us. And then when it got back to us, they just said, like, hey, you know, we decided to go in a different direction. So that's all we know. We asked them what they were going to do. They didn't say. We asked, you know, everybody else in the pinball community that might know. Nobody knows. They actually pulled their license, a few of their license things from other people as well, like physical pinball, like parts and stuff like that. So,
really? That's interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories out there of what they're doing, but really, we don't know.
Yeah, I know that there are people that do repros of, like, old Williams parts for machines and things like that, and they are licensed, so I guess they may be. I'm not in that circle. I wouldn't know if that's being affected as well, but I guess it could
be. Yeah, that is what's being affected. There was some, I think it was Marco Pinball or Planetary or something like that. I could be wrong on which ones, but I believe that some of them lost some of their license to recreate parts for the pinball tables.
That is such crap. That's like, they have most of the machines, period, like out in the wild and everywhere else.
We're not sure what they're doing. We saw some Monster Bash art on their new Scientific Games website, so I don't know.
I mean, if they're wanting to make another video game, that's one thing, but not allowing people to continue to maintain and upkeep their old machines. I mean, it's just a really, that's like an even bigger dick move.
That's an ultimate dick move.
Exactly they did remove. It might not be specifically like, you know, upkeep stuff. Might be, I don't know. You know, I don't want to start any too much rooms, but.
Sure. No, totally. It's just it is an interesting thing. I was reading a little bit about how trying to understand who owned all that now. I guess
Scientific Games. They just rebranded. So I believe, you know, I mean, all of this kind of happened at the same time. It seems like they rebranded and pulled the licenses and all of that all at the same time. So they must have something big planned. My guess is it's for themselves. You know what I mean? Like to use the license for themselves.
Yeah.
Sure.
But there's a lot of other theories out there, but I don't know. I feel like that's the most likely
scenario. It seems so weird that if they're looking to get into something and doing it themselves, it seems weird to drop, you know, a decade plus of history in this game series to start completely from scratch. It seems like such a backward move.
Yeah, well, what they do is they've been making all the slot machines in Vegas for a long time now. So they're in the gaming, you know, the gambling industry and been doing that. So it seems like slot machines are starting to go, like, become less popular. And this might just be part of that evolution of gambling or something, you know? Like, maybe they want to make a pinball version of you know, gambling that's more skill-based and stuff like that, you know? Because I feel like that's what people are more into now. Instead of just the slot machine, like, pulling the lever over and over again or just smacking the button all day.
To make it more interactive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know that there was, I can't remember the name of the company, but someone is doing reproductions of actual machines, the Attack from Mars and...
Yeah, I played that one.
Yeah, I wonder if those are being... Do you have any know if those are being affected at all? Because there's two machines they're remaking right now. Stern's helping them make
Medieval, be made. I think it's Medieval Madness and Attack from Mars. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah,
I don't know if they're affected. I don't know yet.
Fascinating. So you guys have had to kind of pivot all of a sudden. I know that you had a Switch launch a couple months ago, and then so you've sort of I know that there were some updates done to that on at least specifically on Switch. I don't know what's been why you're kind of having to move things around and repackage tables and you're obviously focusing on. So what's kind of been the big focus for you guys the last you're kind of. You have to kind of repackage everything because such a large percentage of your tables were Williams. So what's the haps? What's the latest with you guys?
Well, with the Switch, we released on the Switch, and then a few hours later, WMS noticed that we released on the Switch, and we thought that that was part of the deal. And they immediately were like, no, you got to take that down. So we took it down immediately. And some people were able to buy the Williams tables before we took it out of the store. And then a few weeks later, we re-released it with a bunch of, it's like Gottlieb Pack 1, Gottlieb Pack 2, 3, and then there's like a Gottlieb EM pack. And then we have our Alvin G tables that we're still allowed to sell. And let's see the other one, the Doctor Who Master of Time table.
Yep.
So we've got all that repackaged on the Nintendo Switch, and that's basically the format that everything's going to be on all the other platforms on the first. Everything is going to come down out of the store, and then the Gottlieb packs and Stern packs are all going to go up. So that's what's happening. And what we've been doing, which has been super time-consuming and kind of hectic, is just taking down all the tables. Like, it's kind of a hectic process with the console companies to get things to come out of the store.
I'll bet.
So yeah, and we're also, you know, the programming of it and just restructuring everything. So it's been crazy. But you know, we've got it ready and it should be changing up in the next couple days.
So for people who already own Pinball Arcade and own these seasons of tables, what's going to happen to their version of the game? Is the game going to change? Is this new one going to be a fresh, brand new download? What's going to happen there?
It's going to be the same game, and all their tables are going to stay. They won't lose anything. The only thing that's changing is just what new customers will be able to see. So if they don't own, you know, if someone just gets the game, they'll just see Gottlieb stuff. That's it. But yeah, if you own the other tables in your My Tables area, all your tables will still be there. So it should be okay.
That's good. What does this do for achievements? I know we have a lot of achievement whore fans who listen to the show, and on Pinball Arcade, there's achievements for Season 1 and Season 2, but I'm assuming tables are going to be going away from those seasons. Will the achievements be affected? Will they even be able to be completed anymore? Are you guys going to be able to go back in and change the achievements and trophies?
I think we can go back in and change things, but I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen like you said, the Season 1 and stuff like that. I'm not sure. I imagine that if you've completed them in the game, I guess if you've completed them, they'll probably stay completed and you would have earned them. But, you know, otherwise, I think they're going to be going away.
I'm curious how that's going to work out, though, because I've never seen a game that have so many achievements tied to content that's just going away completely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something I'm going to actually have to ask the programmers, because I'm not sure what's going to happen with that.
Well, one suggestion, if I could propose one, is the current achievements are to get all wizard and all standard goals in Season 1 or Season 2 tables. Perhaps you could be able to just change it to 5 total tables or to 10 total tables, stuff like that, just to make it more generalized instead of having specific tables that have to be worked on.
Right.
Just spitballing.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go talk to him after this because I haven't been asked that yet. So it's a good question.
I got a new one in there.
Yeah.
Joe, do you have all the achievements on Pinball Arcade?
No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm not good enough to get wizard goals. I try.
I would love to know if you were able to pull it. Someone, at least one person.
I haven't
pulled that off.
I haven't pulled it off.
That stuff is tough.
Yeah, we do it on stream. We hit the achievements there, and we do all right, but we haven't done them all.
Now I kind of want to look up and see if anybody has gotten all of them. Oh man! So what else is going on? Like, how else does this affect you guys internally?
Well, we had just previously, before that news of WMS going away, we had announced that we were going to slow down and stop doing monthly releases. And that we didn't do that because we knew we were going to lose the WMS license. We just were already going to slow down and start, you know, going back and try to fix things a little bit more, polish the tables a little bit more before we release them, and also work on other projects at the same time. So it all kind of happened at the same time, and we were already, you know, in a mode to start working on some other things. But yeah, it's really not the end, actually, because we still have Stern, and we're still going to be releasing lots of more contemporary tables. So Pinball's not over, that's for sure.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot to... There are plenty to put together.
Yeah.
Iron Man confirmed for next week release on Stern Pinball Arcade. Okay, no? No, okay, well.
Yeah, not, be nice. Not Iron Man just yet, but... That's,
oh, Iron Maiden. Actually, there's an Iron Man and an Iron Maiden. I didn't even think about that.
Iron Maiden is possible. You know, a lot of the Stern tables are possible. Disney licenses are a little harder, or a lot harder. But we'll see, because Stern's working with us on that, trying to get the license worked out ahead of time when they get it, so that we can eventually release our video game version day and day with their physical versions.
Cool. That's really cool.
So, yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah, so we still got lots of pinball to do.
Have you played the new Iron Maiden table?
I haven't.
It's really, really, really good.
I've heard. I can't wait.
It's mm-hmm. just like, I have a thing for loops, you know? Like, mm-hmm. how many times can you hit loops? You know, Star Trek's got one of those. It's got two of them. It's just too much. It's too much excitement.
I can't wait. I can't wait to play it.
If we do it, on the table.
Hmm?
Asking Grant how well he did on the table.
Mm. Oh, I mean, not great. Whatever. Okay. a dude I know in the county has one, and I got to play it some, and I did all right. Again, no wizard modes, no. And this also with these new games, they're always updating code over time too. So the game will come out, and they basically do what video games do now. They release games that are at 80%, and then they just patch in stuff they need.
We know all about that.
Yeah, totally.
With our monthly releases, man, that was tough.
I bet.
But that's the way to go. I mean, you have to get things out on time as much as possible. And when, you know, especially with us, we had our schedule like monthly, which was ridiculous. And, we had to start moving on to our next thing. So we would send it out as good as we could and then try to fix it. And at least we can do that now. At least you can fix it after you sent it out, because on Xbox 360, it wasn't possible to fix it after we sent it out. So it is, in some ways it makes it so games come out kind of broken and that sucks, but in other ways it makes it so people can get fixed after it's released. So
yeah, how's bad. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
Everyone was going to talk at the same time. I was going to say, I mean, games today are so complex that it's impossible to have a bug-free game. So
yeah, that's true.
Having that ability to patch and update things, I think, is a good thing.
Yes. Yeah, it's a good thing.
Now, what were you going to say, Grant?
I was just wondering how the Switch stuff was going. How it's been working in that ecosystem in the store and everything else. Has it gone well? Because I don't know if we've talked since that came out.
Yeah, it's going well. It's going well.
You got vertical modes kicking.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we have, it's called Tate Mode.
Tate mode. Yeah, what's that? What's that stand for?
I don't know. Let me Google it.
Speaking of Googling things, I did look up. 8 people have gotten all the achievements on the Pinball Arcade.
What is Tate mode?
So there's your answer, Grant. 8.
8.
8. That is it.
I'm one of those people. I'm not. I'm not. What is Tate mode?
Oh, so it's basically like. It derives from the Japanese word for vertical.
Oh, look at that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's
Tate. Yeah.
Yeah, you speak a little Japanese? Or a lot?
Nope.
Tate.
I'm reading it too. It's so interesting because it's always in all caps. So it made me think it was an acronym of some kind.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But I hadn't looked it up until now.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Learn something new every day on this show.
There's a new. There was a Kickstarter that just went up last week for a new vertical grip for the Switch. Have you seen this thing?
We've been getting a lot of messages about that because our game currently only supports right tape mode, and that controller only supports left tape mode.
Oh, man!
So people that use that with our game will have an upside down screen.
Oh yeah. So, okay.
Yeah. So we're looking into it. I'm pretty sure we can, make it go both ways.
Sure. Interesting.
You guys should look into some kind of cross promotion where if you do eventually get the tape mode switched around so that it'll work with the flip grip, like throw in a free pinball table for people who buy the grip, something like that.
Yeah, it's not a bad idea.
It'd be a way to get people hooked on pinball.
Every time I'm with you, you're giving me suggestions. I have to, like, pull my paper out.
I promise, none of my suggestions are actually good.
No, they're not bad. They're good.
Hey, Joe, have you played the Pinball Cadet, the mobile game that these guys put out?
No, I haven't. Tell me about it. What is Pinball Cadet? This is a great opportunity.
I uninstalled it when I first got out. There were so many updates coming out. I got a new phone, so I just didn't put it back on. I put it back on a couple weeks ago. It's a great game. I don't know, like, what the story is with that game, Mike. Like,
well, we're actually the publisher for it. The developer is Trick Gaming Studios, down in Argentina. So, but yeah, the game's out, and it's basically like a prequel to the game that they're designing currently. And that is going to be a full-fledged, like, pinball game with worlds and super monsters and stuff like that.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's a pretty solid prequel right now. It's got a nice playfield, like, multi-level. Has lots of Nintendo-style graphics and sounds. And what we did is we helped them with their physics, so they have a little bit more realistic pinball physics in there. And we also help them a little bit with design and stuff like that, but they're the developers.
That's cool. It's fun.
So what all do you do in this game? Because I just downloaded it myself. I figure, you know, something new pinball related, I'm going to have to check it out after the show.
Well, there's lots of different things on the playfield. You can go up to the top, and there's like bricks that you knock out using kind of, I don't know what you call it, but like, what's that game where, you know, like the ball, it like comes down, you hit it, and it flies up and breaks the bricks. I don't know what that is.
Oh, like Brick Breaker, or like, you know,
Breakout, Arkanoid.
Breakout.
Yeah. Yeah, it's basically, it's got that in there, and it's with the pinball, so it'll, like, you can bounce the pinball back and forth, and then once you knock out a bunch of blocks, you clear it, then you'll get a boss, and then you have to hit the boss a bunch of times, and once you beat the boss, it'll give you access to, you know, a different color item on the playfield, which gives you different scoring, and lots
really
of little
cool.
things like that. Yeah, there's lots of little goals and things to hit on the playfield, and different ways to unlock multi-ball and stuff like that.
Is it a mobile-only game?
Yes, mobile-only, but they will be porting it to consoles later.
Oh, that's cool to hear. I was just going to ask that.
Completed version, yeah.
Beating me to it.
That would be a fun one to play on vertical Switch.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, it seems like well designed for a Nintendo game. You know what I mean? It's kind of paying off to a lot of the old Nintendo stuff.
Yep.
Grant, you have a huge love of playing stuff vertically on the Switch. That you made your own mini pinball table, didn't you?
Yes, I am. It's in process. It isn't actually built, but it's almost. There was a guy that was going to actually put the pieces together. Like I had like schematics, and he was going to build the cabinet part, and he hasn't been available. I built a controller by hacking a Switch gamepad and made like a pinball, my Amazon Prime pinball controller, got some press, cause it was so ghetto,
cause it was ghetto.
Cardboard box with the buttons. And so I have this monitor that I wasn't using. And so I've decased it, and I'm going to have it mounted in a machine. And I have an extra, I got a dock for cheap when they were on sale, not a third party dock, mind you, cause those they'll apparently destroy your Switch.
Really?
Yeah. Like these, like the Nyko dock, power dock, like it's been bricking Switches.
Oh shit.
Nintendo That's did like a third party update. One. What, you have a third party one?
Yeah. I'm using it at MAGFest. Oh fuck.
Read about it. Because apparently Nintendo did a firmware update about 3-4 months ago, and it just bricked a bunch of systems. Like, when people sit
through
the dock.
Crazy.
Yeah. Nintendo's just like, don't buy third party stuff unless we license it or we approve of it or whatever. That's their excuse.
Damn.
Anyway.
Breaking it.
So I have like I think I sent you pictures of this thing, Mike. I can't remember. I sent you renders. It'll be a little tiny, pinball, table that I was going to build anyway for PC years ago, but the idea of it being, a Switch one is cool because it's just so, it'll be so small. You don't have to make it so tall to fit PC guts in there.
Right.
You just need room for the monitor and some buttons. So.
Yeah. Super cool, man.
Yeah.
When you get it finished, you got to send me more.
I will. I have, the, I had an idea to maybe put, I've seen one people do this, but they'll put on top of the front, they'll put actual joystick controls, because then you can play like the Neo Geo games that other mm-hmm. games are putting out on Switch that also support vertical orientation.
Right.
They just put Ikaruga up recently, which supports vertical orientation, and I freaking love that game. So maybe I'll, we'll see. It hasn't been built yet, but it's in process.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hashtag cool. Nerd.
Yeah. Nerd awesome. Alert, man.
Nerd alert.
It'd be cool to see a skin modeled off of your custom pinball table as a replica table inside Pinball Arcade.
I was thinking about what to put on the sides of it. If I was going to name it like, you know, Ninball or something, or if I would just, or just like, just, you know, ape the side art for, from a Williams table or something. Maybe I'll just steal the artwork for Monster Bash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There were some guys at CES that had the game running on little mini cabinets, like super mini.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and they used art from like Attack from Mars or something like that. It looked cool, but they can't get licensed to actually sell that stuff. It's just
showing
what they could do.
Bummer. You know, I was noticing in I'm having DirectX problems recently. I'm having problems running some games, but the I noticed that launching Pinball Arcade, there's a cabinet mode now.
Yeah. I was going to bring that up at some point, but that is also something that's going away.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we were partnered. We're partnered with Arcuda, and we've been building a specific. We support them as a new platform, and they have their own store on the Arcuda cabinet where you can buy games. And we did like most of our collection for them with all new cameras. It supports DMD and backlash, as well as like a 3D view. If you hook up a what's on the Xbox, the
Kinect. It's like the like a Kinect for the iron tracking.
Yeah, use Xbox Kinect. Oh, and when you move your head to the right, you can look left and right.
Oh, so head tracking.
Yeah, you can actually look up at the rollovers and see them by moving your head forward and stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. If you go to, let's see, what was it? Arcuda Pinball Arcade. .com. Yeah, that's what it is. So Arcuda Pinball Arcade.com, and you can purchase it there. And we also, there's also a way to purchase it for just your own cabinet. And we're just trying to make sure we're able to sell it before the deadline, because after the 30th, you won't be able to get it anymore.
Wow. So it's the software that they run.
Yeah. You're able to, if you purchase the key, then you'll be able to hook up 3 monitors and run it like a pinball table. And wow, if you buy an Arcuda, you'll be able to use the touchscreen and, you know, everything that's on there. Their knockers and all that stuff. It's all supported.
So this killed their whole operation as
well. Yeah, it was a big bummer for them because they weren't done with their production of cabinets yet. And so this was just terrible news for them because it was a blanket thing. No more selling WMS stuff, and it's mostly WMS stuff they were going to be selling. So it's there. Nice. You can get it now, and then you can... You can get the Arcuda cabinet later and run it, or you can get it now and run it on your computer in cabinet mode and build your own cabinet.
Interesting. So the software doesn't include, obviously, the Pinball Arcade tables, or does it include everything that they've... I'm trying to look at here what the... I can research it on my own.
Yeah, well, it includes 76 tables out of our 90... and it's mostly the Williams tables, the more popular ones. And then it's, once you buy it, you'll be able to keep the tables, but you won't be able to buy it after the 30th. And I think there's some technicality where they've purchased enough licenses to sell some after the fact, but I don't know how much that is.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
And how long you'll be able to get it for after that. But I've heard that you will be able to possibly get some of it after, but... but just to be safe, I'm just gonna say the 30th is the last, because that's when the license runs out.
Yeah, that's on their site. Oh, Williams, why you gotta be?
I know.
doing that. You guys have gotten a lot of press recently about this. Like, I've seen articles on non-gaming sites. Interesting stuff. A lot of attention, which is great.
At least that's going to get the word out, and a lot of people are picking them up before it's too late, and then they'll be able to play these things after they're gone.
Same thing on our Android too, right? Like,
Yep.
I've seen a
Today's
lot of people.
The last day for PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I saw that earlier on Facebook. I saw the picture about it. I tried to tweet out and help get the word out that today's the last day for PlayStation, and Saturday's the last day for everyone else. But I'm seeing a lot of backlash from people wondering why you couldn't do a sale with these tables that are going away.
Yeah, well, WMS actually did not allow us to, because that was what the plan was. We were going to put everything on sale. And that was one of the rules of the license being removed, is that we were not allowed to change the prices before it went down. So, you know, obviously we would have taken advantage of the Steam summer sale, but we didn't get to. So everything stayed the same price, unfortunately.
Yeah, on Reddit, someone tried bringing it up, and I had a comment of like, there's probably some kind of clause that you guys weren't allowed to put them on sale.
Yeah.
And I want to read the one reply that I got, because I think it's hilarious and I'd love to get your comment on it. he said, Farsight has always avoided sales because they're incompetent. Even the non-WMS tables aren't on sale. Sales make you more money, not less. That's what Microsoft learned from Steam. Microsoft never used to have sales like they do now. Then they followed what they started, seeing Steam and PSN clean up all the sales. Farsight doesn't get this, and that's why they're a failure. So an internet genius thinks you guys are failures. So what are your thoughts on that?
We get it every once in a while, but I mean, we have put it on sale. We've put the game on sale every Steam summer sale for the last 3 or 4 years. And we usually have pretty big sales around Christmas. And the only reason why we can't just put the Gottlieb tables on sale on Steam right now is because we don't have any specific to only Gottlieb stuff packages available in the store. It's only the season passes, and the passes contain every type of table, Gottlieb and Williams included. So it's just not possible.
But basically, the internet geniuses doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah.
Well, it is Reddit. I mean, it's Reddit.
I mean, Reddit is made up of geniuses. We all know that.
Oh, that's right.
Definitely.
Yeah. That's where all the geniuses go.
Yeah.
When you say something, you immediately get an, well, actually, the real story is.
Yeah, pretty much. It's rough out there on the internet, man. It's rough.
It really is something. I took a break. I was traveling over a couple weekends ago and was not on Twitter for a few days, and booted it up when I got back, and I was like, oh no, I just closed it. I was like, oh god, it's just
terrible.
It's really dirty again.
I know.
Yeah,
I
get personally called out on Twitter and things every once in a while.
Yeah, it's a thing.
The community manager, Mike Lindsay, you know, did this or whatever, and it's like, you know, and then a bunch of people jump on there and I see it, I have to ignore it.
Yeah, you just sort of, I guess you sort of get used to it after a while.
Yeah, I mean, that's just comes with it, you know, especially when you're at a video game company, you get a lot of love and you get a lot of hate.
Yeah, the gamers are probably the worst collective of people, except for, like, you could get specific about certain types of game people, but I don't know, I feel like maybe movie fans are worse, maybe comic book fans are even worse, I don't know, but I just know video game people are pretty terrible.
I only know the video game feedback, and it's, you know, it's intense. Some people... Yeah. They ride in and try to tell you how to run the business, and you know I don't run the business. I just try to do my best.
Yeah, you do well, man. You got to be the company the public facing the face of the any video game company.
I'm the face that you punch. The public face punch.
fantastic punching bag, Mike Lindsay.
Have you gotten any comments that were just so ridiculous or so stupid that they stuck with you?
Oh, all the time. We get some crazy stuff. I don't know if I could pull anything out of the top of my head right now, but we definitely get crazy stuff on the daily.
I can only imagine.
I've intentionally stayed, like, I've never actually become a Reddit user. Like, I signed up for an account once to
don't, it's awful.
Someone, I know. I signed up for an account to private message someone once. I know there are probably subreddits that apply to me in a just an insane way, but I just can't. Like, whenever it's being talked about, it's just the worst kind of thing. So I'm just gonna say,
it's like it evolves to Hitler or something like that. You know, at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Hitler gets mentioned,
or just know-it-alls. You know, So
yeah, it's filled with idiots. It's filled with racists. It's filled with stupid posts. People who don't know what they're talking about. And it's literally the only site I use anymore for pretty much everything. But yeah, stay away. It is.
It is the wait. It's the only site you pretty much use for. Did you just say it's the only site you pretty much use for anything?
Pretty much, yeah.
But stay away.
Everything is there.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is there.
It's the internet.
Yeah.
Everything is Reddit's everything.
Yeah, pretty much is everything, because it's all user submitted. And if someone finds something that they find interesting, they'll share it in one of the thousands, if not millions, of subreddits, and other people will look at it and they'll share it in other places. And it just, everything goes everywhere on Reddit, but it is such a vile, toxic place sometimes.
And it's like the internet is really devolved, man. Like I actually am a little bit freaked out of the internet these days, because like news articles and everything on all the social media, it all has like this formula. It's like clickbait stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like every headline, every title of anything is basically like what they've deduced is the most likely to be clicked on. You know, it's not like just whatever the news was, you know, it's something to get you to click it. And it's just really gotten bad.
Yeah, that's
right. Everybody's hacking everybody, and everybody's a troll, and everybody's Russian.
Yes, we all Russian.
Everyone's Russian to troll.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like YouTube, where you go to YouTube to watch videos and get information and get content, but you just never, ever scroll down to the comments. Because then you immediately lose any sense of knowledge that you once had in life.
Yeah, it's really bad. It's just, you know, like a lot of people, it's just interesting. I never thought the world would be the way it is right now, where everybody is on their computer with anonymity, and it just has created this crazy culture in the whole entire world of just saying whatever you want and being a crazy ass, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
But I'm guilty of trolling at some point, you know? I really enjoyed it back when I was doing that.
Do you troll any pinball arcade haters who try shitting on you? Do you ever shit back?
I have done a little trolling at some point, but it was a very extreme case of trolling against us, and we did a little trolling back, and it was kind of funny, but we had to stop right away. It wasn't, you know, can't keep doing something like that.
Anything you could share details on, or is it
best left unsaid? I don't know.
Joe wants
the
dirt.
I should.
I do. I love dirt.
Joe wants the hard dirt.
I love seeing trolls get their comeuppance.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I shouldn't share any of that.
I just happened to catch a Zen Studios interchange on Twitter with a user. The user said, hey. Oh, what did he say? He said,
hey.
Hey. I don't play this table anymore. I want a refund or something. And they said
something like that.
And they said they're like, okay, or no, it's something about it not being optimized for their phone, or something. I don't know what it was, but they wanted a refund. And they said, he's like, okay, well, can you give us some specifics about what's wrong? And we can totally give you like what do they offer? Like give them a credit for something for a table. Mm. And his response was like, that's too much work. I'd rather have a refund. and we're just like, oh, I can't. That just drove me crazy. And then they said, I think they came back with, okay, talk to Apple. Take care. Because that's what you have to do. Like,
yeah.
Talk to Apple.
I mean, that's the thing is we're not selling the game. We're developing the game. Apple is selling the game. Google Play is selling the game. Those are the stores, you know. So if you ask us for a refund, you know, I mean, if something's really bad, you know, we'll definitely give you a refund. But the thing is like, that's not, we're just giving you, you know, the money that the store that sells it has already taken their cut.
Yep.
And,
yep.
You know, and then we're paying a fee to refund you through whatever service we're using. And then a lot of times, you know, then they just get to keep their stuff because there's no way for us to take it away from them through the store. You know, normally if you get a refund on Steam or something like that, you'll also not have the license anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But we don't have the ability to just, like, refund it and then take it back.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks, Apple.
Yeah,
thanks, Apple.
Yeah, Apple specifically does not let us, like, do anything managing the, you know, any orders or anything like that. We just get to see the numbers. That's it.
Damn.
Well, Pinball Arcade, so hush. Pinball Arcade runs damn good on my phone.
Good. That's great.
Actually, big ups to you guys for having the handheld mode on Switch run 60 frames per second. And Zen Studios does not. Mel Kirk.
That's one thing we got on.
Calling you out. you gotta have 60 frames per second in pinball. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? But you guys somehow, you guys pulled it off, so good job.
Much appreciate. Thank you. Yeah, that was cool. We're very proud of that.
Yeah.
I can't wait that when I do the tweets for this show, I'm going to be like, and Grant Henry calls out Mel Kirk.
Yeah, don't do that.
Too late. Do that. I already wrote it down. It's an idea now, so it's happening.
Tournaments and stuff that you guys normally have, I'll take part in them on occasion. But I'm curious to know, like, I find that I'm like absolutely nowhere in the realm of coming close to placing at all ever in your tournaments. It's like the guys who play these games are playing them to the point that there's like a level of play that I'd never reach. I assume they're spending hours on a single game and on a single table.
Yeah.
They got all their nudging techniques down. It's all like muscle memory, at this point. It's just, I can't even.
Yeah. There's a lot of grinding that goes on with our tournaments. And we're going to start introducing a few different tournament formats. We won't be able to do tournaments on Bally and Williams tables anymore. We're going to try to get a little bit rid of the grinding elements and give like limited tries and stuff like that. Oh, but speaking of tournaments, we have on iOS, there's another app that that's out called Pinball Tournaments. And the ability to win real money has just been enabled. So you wager money, and we've been getting a lot of good feedback from it. A lot of even some of the guys in our league that we did not try to market it to them or anything. Like they came to league the other night and said, like, hey man, I won $16 on the thing the other day. And I was like, wow, crazy. I didn't even know you could win that much money on there. But there's tournaments that are running at all times on this thing, and there's short-term ones, long-term ones, there's leagues you can join. And currently only one table that is based on Fireball. And it's called like Escape the Black Hole. And it's like kind of an upgraded version of Fireball, but mostly good feedback from it. So and it's only on iOS right now, and maybe it'll come out on Android in the future, because Android has some rules against gambling or something like that where we can't put the app out. But this is a real gambling app. You put real money into it and you get real money out of it if you win.
Wow, that's, you know, so funny. I feel like it's so backwards. I would expect Apple to be the ones that would not allow it, and Android's
normally
whatever.
Normally they're the strict ones, but in this case it's allowed. And it's also possible to earn tickets and coins and tokens and stuff inside of this app, so that you can start entering paid tournaments. Like, you don't actually have to put money into it.
That's cool.
But once you start to like it, you know, it kind of makes you want to put a little money into it.
And it's just called Pinball Tournaments?
Yeah, Pinball Tournaments.
Hmm.
I just had an idea. I got it, Mike. Check this out. Here's what you do.
All right.
You take the, we're off the air, right? It's done on the record? Okay, cool. So what you do is you take like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an example of a game that doesn't have any toys, but is, like what's the one, the Fathom. Let's just say Fathom, for instance. You familiar with Fathom?
Okay.
Take Fathom. You just let people download a version of it that is completely blank, no artwork, right? And they can put their own images on there, make their own pinball machine, add their own sound effects to all of the Williams tables, all of them. But they're just, you take all the art and the sound away, and then people can make their own. I can finally make my SML podcast pinball machine.
Yeah, yes. That sounds like super awesome. I'd like to make my own design as well.
And it's all cardboard. It's all in cardboard. So instead of having an actual cabinet, it's just like a cardboard cabinet with scribbles on it and all the sound effects could be like,
whoop, whoop, whoop. Yeah, totally.
It's completely homemade.
I was imagining more of like a video game version.
That's what I was thinking.
People designing, but yeah, I don't know how far we can go with that. You know, we've done a few things like that. But I imagine that Bally and Williams owns the license to just like the general design and rule.
They do. I actually know they do. I'm just trying to like,
you know, I think that's work around it somewhere. Yeah. But that does sound cool. And if we can do it, like maybe we should do it to a few tables. I don't know, but
flip it left and right.
Go with that.
Yeah.
Flip it left and right. Like mirror mode.
Yeah. With the more simple tables, it seems kind of like maybe something that we don't have to emulate, you know, something that a table that we can script, maybe. That would be possible.
The SML pinball table.
Mm-hmm.
Grant, yeah. Get on that. Start designing. It'll have awesome music. I know that.
It's just a JPEG of you with a cat on you. is on everything.
Oh, it's I can everything. Get you cat pictures.
Oh, yeah.
Can.
The SML cat ball table.
Map a cat ball. On the ball.
So what season is that going to be in? Season 8 of Pinball Arcade is going to be the SML cat ball table?
Mm-hmm.
So the 7 we just had, that's the last one?
Yeah, 7 is the last season.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Man, listeners, you need to jump on this. There's some killer tables in the last season.
I really do. I dropped the $60 to pick up Season 6 and 7, so now I've got everything.
Nice.
Grant, yeah, I feel bad that you can't get everything on Switch.
Oh no! Yeah, I didn't know I was gonna crap the bed by not buying them in the first 2 days. But I have everything on PC, so I'm set.
Yeah, you got them.
You got them. I guess I feel like the one sort of there's video pinball here and there on mobile, and there are other companies kind of work. There's one. Oh, it's some like pirate themed Unreal Engine based. Pinball machine that just went up on Steam about 6 months ago. Physics are really weird, but it's really pretty. I can't remember what it's called. But I feel like the untapped
Black Flag
like that, something like that. I can't remember what it's called. Skull and Crossbones or something.
Yeah, it looked really cool.
It's very pretty. It feels weird, but it looks pretty. I feel like the big untapped market is being able to enable people to make their own tables. They have software like Visual Pinball and Future Pinball where you can build them, but that's getting in kind of deep. You know, like there's no surface level drag. Where do you want to put your pot bumpers? Where do you want to put your ramps? Some basic scripting for, you know, calculating points, you know, map some JPEGs on there and be able to share your stuff with the world.
Yeah, we've actually been saying that we were going to make one of those for a long time. Call it the pinball construction set.
Oh, man.
Amazing.
But yeah, still, it has not been possible for us to do it so far.
Yeah, it's an undertaking. I mean, like, I've always been amazed at people who, there's making games, but then there's making games about making games.
Yeah.
I just think that's insane.
The dick-shaped pinball tables you would get.
I mean, that dick-shaped pinball tables you would get, Joe, or make. You make them. All of them. Every dick table.
Everyone.
Came straight from
there. I think there's the table called Big Dick Pinball.
I think we talked about that on the show.
Yeah, we may have already talked about it. I'm looking at it right now. I'm trying to find it.
The flippers are just dicks that flop around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Man, I was talking to...
Here it is, Big Dick, 1996.
Yep, there you go. That's a rare one.
I'm trying to think if I use that for an image for one of our episodes or not, because I know I used the Skittles table. What the hell else did I use? I always try to find something fun pinball-related for the YouTube image when either you or Mel are on.
Good Lord, this back glass.
Yeah.
Is it YouTube friendly or no?
Absolutely not. Holy crap.
It's like very
old too.
It's very graphic.
Oh God.
It's straight up pornographic.
Someone's doing, I'm on a website. Someone's doing a restoration of the back glass for Big Dick. Going into details about what they're having to do. My goodness. I wonder if it's any good.
I don't know. I don't know if it's a real table. Like, it might be like a reskin of a table or something, you know?
I think it's a reskin of Big Deal.
Yeah, probably.
Mm. I'm looking at it. Yeah, it looks like it's a re-theme of Big Deal. So, anyway.
Who made Big Deal? Could you get that in Pinball Arcade?
you know, guess who made it? Williams.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
No, no more. No Big Dick Pinball for us.
Can you get Big Dick then, if it's just a reskin?
Yeah, we might be able to get some Big Dick Pinball out there.
That would be amazing. Oh, man. So, what is next? I know you mentioned that there's some other projects in the works at Farsight. Is there anything you're able to talk about yet?
No, I'm not really allowed to say what we're working on yet. There's not been any announcements. So, the only thing I'm allowed to talk about is what's coming to Pinball Arcade and what's going away from Pinball Arcade. So, we all know what's going away.
What's coming to Pinball Arcade?
It's been announced for a while. We still have Big Buck Hunter and Woe Nelly coming, and it's coming to Pinball Arcade. I think previously it was only coming to Stern Pinball Arcade, but now it's going to be coming to Pinball Arcade, as well as all the Stern tables in the future. They'll be coming to Pinball Arcade, and as they'll be going to Stern Pinball Arcade as well, but it's going to be a different free-to-play format on Stern Pinball Arcade. So you'll be able to grind and earn tokens and tickets to purchase the tables that way.
Interesting.
In Stern Pinball Arcade. And then Pinball Arcade is going to continue the purchase it and play it format.
That's super cool.
They're going to start going in different directions with how the tables are purchased.
Yeah, on Stern Pinball Arcade, it's going to be switched up pretty soon.
Will you still be able to purchase tables for Stern, or is that just going to be on standard?
Yeah, you'll still be able to purchase them, but you'll also be able to grind and earn the tables without having to spend money.
Now, is there a way for, I don't know if this is possible, especially on console, but is there a way that if someone were to buy a table on Pinball Arcade that it also works in Stern?
Yeah, they should be cross-buy. If you buy it in one, you should get it in the other.
That's good. Very good to hear.
Yeah.
Dig it.
Always good. Always good.
I'm happy the Last Action Hero is not going away.
Yeah.
That game, let me tell you, I never played it. I probably put more time into that machine in Pinball Arcade than anything. I want one so bad. I have like an alert on Pinside. I'm never going to buy one, but I want one in real life so badly. It's a great machine.
Yeah.
Did you play that one, Joe?
I don't think... I haven't played it yet on the game, but I trying to think if I played it, if they had it at MAGFest or not. Because every time I'm at MAGFest, I try to play as many of the tables as I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good table.
Are we ever going to see Farsight go to MAGFest?
It's possible. This year, we're kind of not traveling as much as we were just because we were slowing down already. But I think next year we'll probably pick back up and possibly pick some new places to go because we haven't been to MAGFest.
Well, there's a good one to get to.
You aren't coming up to California Extreme, are you, by chance, Mike?
No, not this time.
It's super fun.
Yeah, we've been probably, I think we went like 3 times, and then the last 2 we didn't go.
Cool.
Well, Grant, you live out that way, so I'm going to leave it up to you to pester them to go to MAGFest in January.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I live right next to them.
Just next door, right?
Is an hour away. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's how it works, right?
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It's like how me and Beardo live next to each other because we're both in Pennsylvania.
Yep, totally.
Oh, man. Well, I know we've been chatting for a while. Was there anything else either you guys wanted to talk about?
I think we're good. I mean, I'm good.
I have something I want to share.
Let's hear it.
This is just sort of, I have something, just in honor of the all the hard work that you guys have done with the Williams, with all the Williams stuff over the years. We got to watch it go away. It's very sad. I'd play a little something for you real here, a little. How's that sound? Does that sound okay, guys?
Sounds amazing. All
right.
Ball squad. Ball squad. Go for the skill shot, it's a house ball.
House ball.
Ball squad, shoot the green, lock 'em up, jackpot. Mike is the simulator, Mal is the Zen. Wait,
Mike is a sin. I don't know how this.
That's
Mel
right.
is
That's
a sin. Right. Joe with the milky voice. Stamage the Uber fan. Ball squad. Ball squad. It's a ball squad. There you go. There you go. Storytellers.
Mm-hmm. You got to do that more. I think that's the first live performance I've had on the show.
Oh, that's not true at all.
Like live performance, I've had people mess around, but never an actual song.
That was pre-recorded.
It was pre-recorded.
Yes, it was an actual song.
Yeah.
Very much a song.
That was the theme song that played for the show.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
What? Every time you're on, I use that, Grant.
Oh, I know. I thought you meant what I just played. You're going to... Never mind.
Oh, yeah. Just cut that and use that as the start. No, that was a very special live performance, but I might trim that and keep that.
There you go. I was going to get coffee, and I was like, oh, man, I should just get the guitars right here. I should... remember how to play Ball Squad. And I couldn't remember the lyrics.
You got them. You were good.
Yeah, well, that was a great way to mark the end of the Williams stuff.
There you go.
I don't think I'm going to be on any more podcasts until after it's all gone.
There you go. There you go.
This is the last one, y'all. And that was the song to play it out.
Yeah. Well, you know you are always welcome on anytime you want. Thank you both for coming on and chatting again. I love having you guys on.
Yeah, thank you, man. It was really fun, and I'll definitely come back. After everything's gone, we'll give you another update.
Yeah, take a deep breath and rock on some new stuff, and then we'll circle back and meet again.
Yeah, we'll do, definitely.
Some Big Buck Hunter.
That's right.
Joe, it's a real good game, man. Big Buck Hunter's a good game.
God damn, man. We gotta go shoot them there buck.
Darn.
shoot
them not there buck. That's how they talk.
You darn tootin', man. Well, everyone else, stick around. We're going to take a quick break. We will be back with more show. Mike, do you have any final words to wrap this up?
Just again, you know, everybody pick it up before it's too late. The 30th is the last day for most platforms. And today, the 28th is the last day for PlayStation. So PS4, PS3 Vita, pick it up there. You have until the 30th for the new cabinet mode. And don't forget to check out pinball tournaments on iOS where you can win real money.
Sweet.
And that's pretty much it.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks so much for sticking around. Thanks again to Mike and Grant for coming on and chatting pinball. Just a reminder that by the time you are hearing this, you've got this day left to buy the Bally and Williams tables in Pinball Arcade. So fucking hurry up and do it if you're going to do it, because you won't have a chance tomorrow. And if you're listening to this after the 30th and it's July already or August or whatever, you're too late. So I don't know what you're listening to this episode for. But we have more show to take care of. Joining as usual, Cole Martin, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. That's about as good as it's going to get until we find out what's going on with my knee. But I'm okay.
Yeah, but you have a new microphone.
I do. Do I sound better?
Significantly better.
I mean, you can only do so much when you sound like Paula Deen on helium with less racism, but yeah, I'm trying.
I wish I could segue that, but the only segue I have is speaking of racism, and that doesn't really work. But also here, CJ, you're back. How are you doing?
Yeah, super racist right now, actually.
I'm feeling so racist today. Saw these Mexicans, and I was like, oh, man, just you wait. I'm going to go home and post something on
me off earlier. Fucking sick of the whites.
Fucking Polacks.
That just escalated very quickly.
Fucking Italians. Fucking Slovaks. I'm Slovak and Italian, so I could say that. My people allow that. But how are y'all's doing today?
I got to go spend the day at the hospital, so that was fun.
Now what?
Now we wait for a couple more days until we find out what the fuck's actually wrong with me.
A lot.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that there's really a whole lot that the MRI could have told them that we don't already know. Because it was on my leg and not my brain.
Yeah.
And that's just fucked. There isn't any fixing that. But the...
CJ missed all of that stuff, didn't you?
He did. Did we lose him again? Did he just, like, fall into the abyss?
Maybe. Maybe he muted himself to something. I don't know. His shit's all fucked up. Should we give him a minute to see if he starts talking again? Oh, he messaged me. He said 1 second in the chat, so. Yippee, his shit's all fucked up. Oh.
That's not me making noise.
Yo.
What's up? Oh my god, what is with your mic now?
The fucking Skype app is broken, and it's not working.
I improve my quality, and CJ comes back to downgrade his.
I fucking have a blue snowball. It's not the mic, it's fucking Skype.
If you have a webcam, it is picking up your audio instead.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, I have a Logitech webcam. I gotta leave the group call and switch it. 1 second.
You were so bad at how did it change mid-call? That's what I want to know. Oh, my lord. Should we discuss a little bit of news before he gets back?
We can.
Oh, wait, there he is.
Fucking hate this. Is it better?
Yes.
Okay. Let's see if that works. I thought you guys were fucking around and just pretending to not be able to hear me.
No, we couldn't hear you.
And then
what was that?
A review.
you broke up mid-sentence.
Oh, I was just saying, yeah.
Oh, God. Something is seriously fucked up on your end.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. It's so...
Like, you'll start to say something... And then silence. Hush.
We should move to Discord eventually.
Yes, we as in the fact that you are here every week.
Yes. I am back as the co... I'm joking.
Did I just get fired? Nobody
no, not at all.
Nobody wants that.
So much for that new mic.
I'll take Chris back, but CJ, fuck that guy.
Honestly, though. No, it's because I won't take Joe back.
Aww. That's okay. Nobody will. Yay! So anyway, we should probably talk news, huh? Before CJ's microphone shits out again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I want to say some harsh opinions.
On what?
Nothing. I don't really have any harsh opinions. I just want to say them.
Okay. Well, I guess we will start off. Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus for July were both announced. And oh boy, it is a month for Xbox again.
They suck. No, I'm joking. They're not that bad.
They're okay-ish on Xbox 360 for July 1st through the 15th is going to be Virtua Fighter 5 Final Showdown, which, okay, yay.
Mm-hmm.
400 gamer score, cool.
Does it really only have that much?
Yeah, it was technically an arcade game, but it's like a super easy 400, which is why I'm saying it's basically just equivalent to giving 400.
I thought that was 1,000. Man, that sucks. No.
That's why it's 3,400 in gamer score on the picture.
I didn't even look at the picture. I saw the cover art for the four games, and I was just,
Well, to be fair, well, I'll wait till you get to it.
Yeah, the rest of Go July, ahead. The 16th through the 31st, is Splinter Cell Conviction, which that's a good one there.
Best yeah. one.
And then on Xbox One, through the entire month of July, is Assault Android Cactus, which is fucking awesome. That is a good one.
That's the one I was going to speak up about, Assault Android Cactus. I know there are plenty of people who roll their eyes and go, ugh, another indie. But Assault Android Cactus is fucking fun.
It is. And it's gorgeous
if
on
you,
the
X. If you too. Like mm-hmm. twin-stick shooters.
True.
Which...
Oh, like Carnage is going to hate you.
Look, I'm not good at them.
How are you bad at a twin-stick? Like...
My fingers are crooked,
and it's just point and hope for the best.
Look, I only like them in certain things, and I like them as sections of games, like Fury, where it's utilized, but it's not the whole fucking game, because I just find that boring.
Well, maybe the games find you boring anymore.
Maybe. I didn't hear what Cole said because I was too busy being snarked, but.
I was being snarky, too, so it was okay. It was just a double layer of snark.
Do you want to re-snark him?
This is the reason he's not allowed to be co-host no more.
I thought Joe's was funnier.
That was a double negative anyway, so you're telling him that's why he is co-host again.
Look, the whole point of this new microphone was so my double negatives are clearer. And also, I've had a lot of medication today.
I ain't got no idea why I'm done saying with the not things I done not done say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, July 16th through August 15th is Death Squared. So overall, the four games, they're decent overall, but it is, you know, it's not that great. It's been a couple of lackluster months of gold in a row.
Oh, I actually don't have Death Squared, so I'm looking forward to that one.
That is the bonus, is I only have Conviction, so I get three games.
Well, that's good for you. I've got them all, which should surprise absolutely nobody. But
yeah, at this point, are you even trying to get games with gold?
It's sad when I get more brand new games through Game Pass than I do games with gold.
Is it? Game Pass has like 100 some games, so it's not that sad.
Is that a segue to Game Pass news?
No, because we're going to PlayStation Plus for July next.
Fuck PlayStation. Nobody cares about that. No, I'm sorry.
Their month is pretty solid.
It's probably.
I know, that's probably why I don't want to hear it.
You're probably going to have to resubscribe to PlayStation Plus this month and grab some games.
Well, the free PlayStation Plus with PlayStation Plus games for July are on PS3 is Rayman 3 HD and Deception 4 The Nightmare Princess. So two solid games. The PlayStation Vita is Space Overlords and Zero Escape Zero Time Dilemma, which I have no idea what Space Overlords is, but Zero Escape is pretty good. And then PS4 is Heavy Rain and Absolver.
And
what?
At any point did you say Extreme Exorcism?
I think that's Europe.
Oh, why is it showing it? Okay. I'm looking at a True Trophy.
Oh, God, he's breaking up again.
Fuck!
Okay, you're back again. Stop downloading porn.
I'm not downloading anything, and if I was, it wouldn't be porn because there's no point when you can stream it.
Well, then stop streaming porn.
Yeah, I know.
Or at least lower your settings you're not hogging all the bandwidth with 4K.
Yeah, our 4K stream. Uh-huh. But I know the European PlayStation Plus list came out first, and that one did list Extreme Exorcism, but the American one instead listed Deception 4 on PS3.
I don't know which is better, because I haven't played either. I know that Extreme Exorcism is better if you want PlayStation 4 games, because it's cross-play.
Mm.
But...
Well, who knows? Maybe July will roll around and both of them will
never
be
mind.
Good. What?
Deception is also cross-by. So...
Well, there you go. There you fucking go. But, Cole, you wanted Game Pass for July. Let's talk Game Pass for July. A handful of new games are added. On the Xbox 360, we're getting three new games with Dirt 4, Oblivion, and Fallout 3.
What? Wait, what? What? Dirt 4 was not on 360. What are you talking about?
Dirt 4. Oh, shit. I have that on the wrong side then. I was thinking Dirt 3. Okay, Dirt 4 is on Xbox One. My bad.
I was like, what?
My bad. I'm still mixed up because of the other racing game that was added to backward compatibility this week, which we'll get to in another second. But all right, Xbox 360's Oblivion and Fallout 3, which are both awesome fucking games.
Yes.
And then Xbox One is Dirt 4, which is an Xbox One game and not an Xbox 360 game.
Mm-hmm.
Very clearly. Zombie Army Trilogy, Abzu, Human Fall Flat, and Shadow Complex Remastered. Plus,
if you don't pick up Human Fall Flat, I'm gonna literally like scream. Everybody should play that game. It's incredible. I reviewed it.
There's another game I know you're excited about that's gonna be added to Game Pass, but on July 10th is going to be Bomber Crew launching direct to Game Pass. And on July 11th, Vermintide 2 launching direct to Game Pass.
You know, Joe, I'm glad that you know me so well that you knew I'd be super excited about Bomber Crew. Because, like, I cannot wait.
I can't tell if you're joking or not.
I don't know what Bomber Crew is.
It's a game. It's coming out on the 10th.
Thank you. And now I know so much more about it.
So there we go. I think out of the three of them, the winner of the month is Game Pass for July.
Yeah.
Yes.
Vermintide 2 alone wins, I think.
I wonder, though, how long Vermintide 2 is going to stay in it, because I know it's not an exclusive, so it's not going to be a lifetime thing. Like yeah. Other ones.
I would assume a couple of months at least, and then when it's announced that it's leaving, maybe it'll go on sale and you could get it even cheaper.
That's probably the plan, honestly, because those games are so long you can't complete them without some serious time in.
I think
when they announced... Go ahead.
God damn it. I think the shortest we've seen a game in Game Pass has been 3 months. So even if it's only in there for 3 months, that's 3 months you get to the three busiest months of the game. You get to play it.
Yeah.
That's true.
When they announced Game Pass, like one of the first thoughts that I had was this is incredible for games that are trying to build up a multiplayer presence.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
So to see games like Vermintide go ahead and take advantage of that, we see it being beneficial for Sea of Thieves and State of Decay. So to see it, you know, see indies taking up, you know, that taking advantage of that as well is really good. Because there's a lot of people who would have looked at it and been like, okay, well, it looks cool, but I don't know if it's if I'm willing to drop $50 or $60 on it or whatever. I don't even know what it costs. But there's going to be more people who are going to go, you know what? I can install it for free and I will see if I like it. Play the shit out of it.
Well, I think and that's exactly what happened with RoboCraft Infinity last month too, or April.
That's another one.
Yeah.
It builds up that player base and then people get invested in it and then it goes out of Game Pass and they're like, well, shit, I might as well buy it while it's cheap. Then they get to maintain that player base that they've built up to some extent.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned State of Decay and Sea of Thieves, though, and then that those are always going to be in there, so it doesn't matter too much. They're not going to leave Game Pass.
In a way, they didn't really need it anyway. They're major Microsoft titles, and they were going to do fine either way, but I think it helped.
I don't know if it made them as much money, but it did help.
Well, they were saying... that it seemed like people who had Game Pass, there was some kind of study that Microsoft put out or whatever, report, fancy words I don't understand, I'm a redneck. But they were like,
there were no pictures at all. I didn't know what the hell they were saying.
There was something called anal tics.
Anal Y-ticks. What's a Y-tick anyway? I ain't sticking a tick up my butthole.
But basically what I was trying to say was they were saying that people did buy the game more frequently if they had Game Pass. So it wasn't affecting sales in a negative way. And so it's a big deal if that's going to carry over to indie games. Because one of my biggest complaints is we need to see more indie games with multiplayer support. but they can't afford it or they can't justify it because they don't know that they're going to have that kind of player base. Yeah. And Game Pass gives them that built-in player base to start with.
I mean, that's what Next Up Hero did. That just came out this week. I haven't played it yet, but that's a multiplayer game that just launched direct to Game Pass. So
and I imagine that Bomber Crew, whatever it is, it has a bunch of people in the thumbnail of the game, so I assume it might be multiplayer.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know too much about that one, so. Yeah, what do you two think of games with gold in PlayStation Plus?
You know, PlayStation Plus is winning, but even still, it's not a great month for gamers if they're looking for free games. I mean, I guess my overall opinion, play Heavy Rain, play Splinter Cell.
Why Heavy Rain? I don't know. I never got into David Cage games, so Heavy Rain, just like when Beyond was part of it, it does nothing for me.
Well, I'm going to grab it because I've heard very good things, minus you.
I'm not saying bad things about it. I'm just saying it does nothing for me.
Oh, and grab Absolver if you really want to die in the end because you hate yourself. Because it's an asshole of a game and people are assholes.
Yeah, can't debate that one at all. People are assholes. What about you, Cole? What do you think of the month?
I'm glad more people are going to get to try Assault Android Cactus because I think it didn't get enough attention. So I'm looking forward to seeing what people think of it.
Especially people with an X, because that game, it is sparkly and pretty on the X.
I'm jealous because I don't have the X still, so... Like, I have pretend 4K with my 1S and my 4K TV.
So you get that up convert. You don't have the true 4K.
I still tell myself it's pretty.
Because it is pretty. It's as pretty as you want it to be.
Yeah. I'm not mad at it ever, but.
And but it's okay, Cole. You could be like me and just have the regular Xbox One with a 4K TV.
But it does nothing. I did initially, like, we bought the 4K TV. We were going to buy an X and wait to buy a 4K TV, but then my TV died, and I didn't have a choice.
Oh, okay. See, yeah, no, I bought the TV because it was on sale during Black Friday, and I was like, I'll buy an X one day, and now I'm broke.
Yeah.
Nice.
We replaced the TV, and then the Xbox died 2 days later. So then we had to go replace it, too. And it was just like, okay, well, that's a thing that happened. So I get to pretend like I have fancy 4K. I look at the numbers in the top corner, and they say 3,800. I'm like, close enough.
We got to look into picking up a new TV once we move. We're going to be moving probably in the next couple of weeks, and I'm going to have like my own private little den area that I'm going to have my computer in. We're going to get a new TV for that room so that I could do shit in there when Ashley's home watching TV in the living room. We already bought ourselves a second Xbox One, so I could have that in there ready to go.
Oh, I'm sure Ashley's super excited to get you out of the way.
Hey, how do you think she agreed to all of this?
She's like, less time I have to hear Joe talk about video games? Great.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why I have that little room off to the side. It'll be nice and quiet and away from everybody else, and no one will have to give a shit about the fact that I'm home. I'll be in my own little cubbyhole.
That is the downside to my setup, is everything's in the living room. Like, I have a monopoly on a corner of the living room, where I have a 7.5-foot long art desk with my computer and all my art supplies, and then the TV is immediately to the left of it. It, like, makes a corner, and the TV and the Xbox is there, and, like, I sit in the middle in front of all of it, and nobody else can see shit.
Nice.
I'm like, oh, you don't like it? Go find your own Xbox and TV. This one's mine.
Oh, man, what other news is there? 3 games were added to the backward compatibility list on Xbox this week, with the big one, Sensible World of Soccer, being added.
Oh, that's right, that happened.
Along with Fable Heroes, which I always thought was a fun, cute little game, and then Grid Auto Sport, which is what threw me off with Dirt 4, because they're both Code Racers, or Code Masters. What is it?
Okay, I was like, Code Racers.
I was trying to figure out what happened.
Code Masters. Yeah.
Joe, get out of my drugs.
Isn't it all Codemasters games? Because they tweeted out some, like, hint.
Well, Fable isn't.
No, okay, you're right. That one isn't. But no, they tweeted out some, like, hint thing where it was just pathing, and then it was, like, backwards compatibility. It was
Grid and Soccer are both Codemasters, or Code Racers, as I like to call them.
Well, sometimes they might be preferred to that name now that they only do racing games, really.
Maybe. You never know.
Weren't they the ones that just did that Onrush game?
I don't know. Was that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was
them. I think so, yeah.
I can look, though, because I have the ability of using TA. It is Codemasters.
Yeah, Carnage confirmed it in chat as well, because he's
Well,
there.
Fuck Carnage.
Did you know he dropped 15 biddies before? So that was cool of him.
I dropped 100 before, so...
Fuck when?
I was the first one. Remember that episode where you were like, oh shit, the volume's still on, so they're gonna
So you it. Want credit for something you did months ago today. You know who deserves credit for doing something today? Cole, because she just subbed to our channel. So thank you for the 250.
You guys got subs now?
Yeah, bitch.
Who the fuck's subbing to you? I'm joking.
Cole.
I forgot you guys went back to Twitch, even though you shit talked them for like 100 episodes.
Hey, they gave me affiliate status, so I'll take it. Carnage used to be a sub, and then he gave up on that. He was like, fuck these guys.
Oh, to be fair, that makes sense.
No Time for Games, that's a sub. Nice, reliable, awesome sub. I think No Pulse is a sub. That's cool.
I would, but I use my one free sub on Shiz still.
Why?
I don't know, because I was watching.
He has enough. Fuck him.
That's true. He actually has viewers, so.
Yeah, seriously.
It's crazy. I remember when he didn't.
More than three people hang out in his chat room.
God, I remember when that was like a good night for him.
That's a good night for me. Shit.
Yeah.
Let's see, what other news do we have? The first details of the Halo TV series have come out. It's going to be going into full production in 2019 with Showtime. 10 episodes have been ordered.
Really,
it has to be Showtime, not HBO, since I actually have HBO.
Well, looks like you'll need to get Showtime next.
Sounds like I just won't watch the Halo show.
It's not.
You're going to be bogging down your internet to stream it from a torrent.
My internet's fine. It's fucking Skype.
Sure. Blame Skype.
You're the ones that are still using outdated voice communication.
Hey, it works fine for me and her, so I don't know what your problem is.
You know what worked better for me? Using Xbox Live Parties on Windows 10. That actually works shockingly well.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to use that for interviews.
No, obviously not for interviews, but...
Oh man, Far Cry 3 Classic Edition is now available for sale for those who didn't buy the Far Cry 5 Season Pass. I'm kind of surprised that it's $29.99. I was expecting it to be $20.
I know. I looked at it, I was like, $30 fucking? What? Isn't the edition that came with it only like $69.99 or something?
No, it was $100.
Oh, okay.
Season Pass is $40, I think.
Yeah, so basically you're better off just buying the $100 edition, getting the game and the season pass, and then getting that shit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't bother buying Far Cry 3 if you want to play Far Cry 3. Or just get the backwards compatible version, because that's there.
Yeah, that works as well. But if you want fresh new achievements...
Maybe one day when it's on sale for $5.
Or just get the season pass.
Or I won't.
See, if I were interested in Far Cry 3 Classic Edition... and I didn't have Far Cry 5, I would still buy the Far Cry 5 Season Pass just to get Far Cry 3, and then I'll have the DLC if I ever do get Far Cry 5 on sale.
See, the thing is, I have Far Cry 5 on PlayStation 4.
Yeah, games with golden 7 years, nice.
Well, I could see a Far Cry game doing it. Who publishes that again?
Ubisoft.
Yeah, exactly, okay. It's very possible Far Cry then will
the
be...
Ubes.
I'm surprised 3 hasn't already been one, honestly.
Yeah, like, true. Original. We've had pretty much every Assassin's Creed game so far, except for, what, 2 of them?
Yeah. Next thing you know, Odyssey's going to launch as a game with gold.
God.
That would be amazing, though.
That would be amazing. I don't think it would ever happen, but that would be amazing.
Because you know how many people are shitting on Xbox right now because of PlayStation's games being better? Like, you should have seen Larry Herb's, like, Twitter feed. after the, or like the replies to that, so many people are like, Jesus Christ, this is why everybody's going to PlayStation.
If you jump ship from Xbox to PlayStation over games with gold, you have problems. Like legitimate serious problems that you need to address if that's what pushes you over the edge. These fucking four free games aren't the four free games that I wanted to have. Fuck all of this, especially because the PS4 lineup isn't that amazing either.
No, it's really not. The only game I'm interested out of that one is Heavy Rain.
And, you mean, that's a remaster anyway.
You mean you don't rage buy a new console over four free games?
To be fair, why buy a new console when you can just have both?
Exactly.
No.
Then you don't gotta be a little asshole and be like,
I love people who are like, yeah, I'm trading in my Xbox and buying a PlayStation. Why don't you just buy a PlayStation and have them both?
Because that doesn't get a Twitter war started. you gotta blow up your mentions. You can't have any street cred if you don't. I can't even finish this and make it sound like a legitimate argument. I tried.
You were going there for a second. I was,
and then it just like fell. I was like, yeah, I can't even take myself seriously enough to finish. It's dumb. And I say that as a diehard Xbox fan. It's dumb.
A lot of things are dumb.
The Twitter echo chamber, and I'm just like, ugh, get off my feed.
My
taking my cane. Get off my feed.
My favorite is people on Reddit who jump on there saying, oh, I got suspended for telling someone to fuck off. I'm going over to PlayStation instead. It's like, well, you're going to get suspended for telling people to fuck off over there as well.
I got bad news for people on Xbox. I like to report people.
Me too.
I fucking enjoy it.
Or the people who are like, oh, they made me change my gamer tag. I'm going to PlayStation and never coming back. Guess what? You can't change your gamer tag over there. So if you get in trouble, you just get banned.
Yeah, and you lose all your shit.
Yeah. So go ahead. Go on over to PlayStation where you can't change your name at all. For pretty much any reason. I think one of my friends got banned for some bullshit reason with their gamer tag. And what they had to do was create a new account, get in touch with Sony, and they made like some kind of exception that they carried over all of his licenses to a new account. But he had to start fresh. Oh, he was very lucky because they normally don't do stuff like that.
Like you had to just yell at the right person on the right day for something like that to happen.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, man. Last bit of news I have is that after the upcoming final season of The Walking Dead, Telltale Games will be ditching its Telltale Tool engine and switching over to Unity, with The Wolf Among Us Season 2 and Stranger Things being the first two games to run on Unity in 2019.
Unity?
Yeah.
Unity?
Why?
At least it's not their own engine anymore.
I was about to say, you might actually be better off just sticking to the original. Because notice the newer games aren't as bad as they used to be. So it's like, and almost, I wonder if that'll actually kind of make it lose that Telltale charm of awfulness that's so great about the games.
I don't know. We'll find out next year.
I guess. Better not fuck up Wolf Among Us 2. I don't care about Stranger Things. If you're going to fuck things up, do it there.
Wait, no, I like Stranger Things.
Me too.
I might actually watch the show just to play the Telltale game, because Telltale is great.
You should watch the show in general. It's really good. And I'm someone who didn't watch it at all. And then we saw Target had the 4K Blu-ray on sale. Or no, just the Blu-ray on sale in a special package that looked like a VHS tape. So we picked it up, and I fell in love with the show. I really did. It's really good.
You know what Telltale's fucking up right now, though?
Huh.
They still haven't made Game of Thrones Season 2.
Yeah.
I think that ship has sailed.
They fucking put, like, basically a to be continued at the end.
Which I was about to say, don't spoil it for me, because I've only ever played the first episode of it, and I intend one of these days to get it and finish it off.
It's incredible. I know some people gave it, but I think
it does seem to be very divisive, not decisive.
I fucking loved it, and that made me actually give the show a chance. So it made HBO money because of me playing the game. So HBO... I don't know who's in charge of getting this going, but fucking do it. Also, they literally confirmed that it's coming. They just haven't done anything with it.
Well, maybe that'll be in 2020 on Unity.
Fuck.
To be fair, there has been okay games on Unity before.
Yeah, it's a wait-and-see approach. We'll see. I think anything is going to be better than their decades-old engine that they've been using forever.
I don't know. They could have been using the Fallout engine.
True. Very true. The Bethesda engine. But yeah, that's the news I have. Any news you two wanted to discuss that I didn't bring up? Or are we just moving on to reviews?
Move along.
Wait, I'm looking for... No.
TJ is literally over there Googling, is there any gaming news right now?
CJ's like, I want to hang out for more than a half hour, but I don't want to listen to you guys do reviews.
Well, I'm not going to do that much. That's the boring section.
You're a boring section.
I completed CM Speedrunners from Hell. I'm better than everybody else.
Eh.
I'm just going to go out on a limb and say every time I see that game, the S-E-U-M part, I see a very different word.
What do you see? Wait.
I'm not saying it.
It's like, it's not even kind of close, though, really. I mean, it's not that close to that.
Oh, it's close to something.
I mean, I know what you think you see, but it's not that close.
No, I'm lost. I don't know what I think I see.
Then what do you see?
It's not sperm, if you think I'm going that way, because I'd straight up say sperm, but...
No, no. I would have said semen, not sperm.
No.
Cum, semen, kind of close. But, all right, I don't know what it is, then.
It's okay, I'll tell you after the show.
to be fair, I don't leave us on a cliffhanger like this.
I don't want to, like, violate any Twitch terms of service or anything.
Well, then just start spelling it.
Let me make sure I'm thinking the right word first, and then I'm going to have to explain my search history to my husband. God damn it. You guys got to make this difficult.
You're the one who brought it up. You can't blame us for this. You can't be like, oh, I think this game looks like this word. What word? Yeah. I'm not telling you.
I'm right about what I was thinking. No, it's the cecum. It's part of the large intestines.
Oh.
Man, yeah, it was like...
You had us going like, all so, like oh you guys God, immediately went word. To
like the dirtiest shit possible.
No,
you're the one who was like, I can't say it.
I could say sperm, but you wouldn't say that.
I'm like, do you think it looks like the word cunt or something? Is that what you're worried? It doesn't look anything like that.
I would say cunt. But no, like, I just don't want to, I don't know, I didn't want to be overly gross, because...
You would have even knew what that was, if you didn't explain it.
Yeah, it's where the shit hangs out before it comes out. Okay.
Thank you.
And so, like, every time I see S-E-U-M, I think the C is missing, and I think cecum. And then I have to be like, no, wait, that's not right. So... Now I feel bad.
If the developers
ever hear
that way, at least
the developers ever hear it, they're gonna be like, "Wow, she thinks about shit sex."
To be fair, they'd probably be like, "That's pretty metal."
Maybe
even Carnage is like, didn't want to be overly gross. For fuck's sake, you're on SML.
I know it. Like I stop it. Poo jokes. It's just not me. It's not ladylike, okay?
Half the shit you say on this show isn't ladylike. What the hell are you talking about?
I know it. I have certain
boundaries.
Yeah, basically.
Boundaries.
She doesn't want to talk.
It's not becoming of a southern lady to discuss the intestines.
Her pooping is private.
It's not becoming. Oh, this shit's getting crazy.
Yeah.
So, reviews.
Back.
Let's get started with the reviews. That way CJ doesn't have to hang out and listen to all this poo talk, because you are absolutely disgusting. I can't believe you would say stuff like this on my show.
Am I farred? I'm not allowed to come back.
What was that word again? Fired?
No, I'm fired. I didn't say it.
Am I fired? That sounds like fart, and that is disgusting. How dare you say that on my show?
That is
fucked up that you would say shit like that on this pure heavenly show.
It's a Christian podcast now.
It is.
I think I just got struck by lightning.
Amen. First game to talk about tonight is called Wreckfest, developed by Bugbear Entertainment, published by THQ Nordic. I'm sure they love that lead-in, by the way. Released June 14th on Steam for $44.99. Wreckfest is a demolition derby-themed racing game with soft body damage modeling, sophisticated driving dynamics, and in-depth vehicle upgrading, featuring both demolition derbies and more traditional track races. It's all about fun breakneck racing and over-the-top crashes. CJ, tell us about Wreckfest.
Bye, CJ.
Did we lose him again? Son of a bitch. I just did the intro.
Look, he dipped out because of the poo talk. He couldn't handle it.
He's like,
this is why
I
didn't want to do that.
Oh, man. Well, he hung up. I'll give him a minute to see if he rejoins or if I'm just going to skip out on that.
Hey, look, I randomly found a pin. Yay.
Yay.
It poked me.
Oh, my God. He's going to make it such a pain in the ass to edit this show. Is he back? Aha. There he is.
All right. I had a joke lined up and everything, and then it fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, it did. So what is Wreckfest?
Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to go with the joke I was going to say because it's old now and expired.
But no, you have to now. You can't tease it and not do it.
Fine, but I'm going to deliver it really sadly.
Okay, go ahead.
Wreckfest? I thought you said breakfast.
Can we just hang up on him?
I'm tempted, but we have to do this review.
Damn it. I was okay, hoping to get me out of it.
So what is Wreckfest?
It's a Wreckfest is a demolition derby themed racing game with soft. I'm joking. No, but it's pretty good. It's a pretty good racing game that you can completely just destroy your opponents in. Like, no point in actually trying to get first when you can just destroy every single person on the track and then you're alone.
True.
Basically, that's the idea of the game. Just completely destroy people and make sure that they don't exist anymore.
Cool. So are you going to go into details on it?
Shut up. I'm about to.
You've done this before. You know what you're doing, kind of.
Bye.
What the fuck, Skype? Did you do that on purpose? Oh, my God.
Wait, am I here? Hello?
You're here now, yes.
Okay. I wasn't sure.
What the fuck is wrong on your end? Jesus.
It's Skype. I don't know what it is. Anyway, this is going to be a heavily edited review. It's a good game. It has crashing. Its driving mechanics are actually really good. I was.
Oh, for fuck's sake. All right, CJ, we're going to have to try recording this review another day. I don't know what's going on with your call or what's going on your end. Sending a message. Fuck me. Yeah, fuck you pretty much.
Fuck you and the Seekem you speed ran in on. I can't fucked it up. That's how messed up I am. God damn it.
Like I don't even know if I continue on or if I just edit around this or what to do. Any ideas?
I would edit around it, but then people might think we actually have standards and we can't have that. So
yeah, very true.
We'll just staple together whatever we get when you can record this shit.
Yeah, I guess so. So if you hear a review, awesome. If not, oh, wait, there he is.
All right, how awful does this sound?
It sounds very awful, but just go.
Okay, we're going to talk about Wreckfest, and I'm going to use my stupid-ass webcam. Okay, Wreckfest is pretty good. It's basically a demolition derby game like in the likes of Flat Out, if you've ever played that, same developers. Mm-hmm. So if you've ever played that, you know exactly what you're getting into. If you haven't, I'll explain. It's a racing game where the object is to actually just destroy your opponents and try to get first while making sure that none of them even finish. It's a lot of fun, though. Basically, what you do is you start the race, and then you turn left and immediately screw the person to your left. Then you turn to the right, and you immediately screw them. Make sure that they go in last place first. Then you just continue going up and pit maneuvering everybody, and there's even bonuses on every level. It's like special stars, and you get those if you screw people. Like, one of the first ones is you get a star if you spin out three people on the track. And nice. It's not hard to do. You just screw them up. As long as you're playing on a somewhat reasonable difficulty, you'll be able to keep in the pack with them. If you're playing on easy, you're just going to immediately go way too far ahead. You'll never be able to spin them out. And on the first race, I made that mistake, and I went on easy. And I got bored racing because I was so far ahead. And this track actually has both lanes right next to each other with just cones splitting them for like going both directions. So I eventually just turned into the other lane and completely destroyed myself and somebody else. And it was really funny because you can reset the car as long as you're going a slow enough speed. So you can get back on the track where you were, and I was still in first place because I was going so far ahead. And then every time I'd lap this guy that's so slow and completely just like barely chugging along with fumes. The destruction looks so beautiful in this game. It's incredible. You see like the tiny little shards of glass, the plastic, the metal, everything just going off. You see the cars looking like they shouldn't be able to drive anymore, but luckily they don't enforce the realistics of it, because otherwise this game wouldn't be nearly as fun. As one crash and your car would be completely totaled. But the fact that they allow you to just kind of keep racing and just have a little bit of fun with it is a heck of a lot of fun with that, and makes the whole game. This game isn't much of a racing game. It's much more just completely destroy everybody and hope that you make it out alive. There are also sets of the challenges where you can do different things. Like there was a demolition derby on lawnmowers, and there's like special jumps that you have to make and stuff like that. That's pretty fun and adds to it. You race on a few different types of ground, which actually affects the way the cars control. So you have like your grass and dirt, and you have your tarmac. And that stuff is actually going to play very differently, which is kind of nice. It has that realistic aspect. The game looks super nice and realistic when you turn up all those settings with that GTX 1080.
Nice.
Bragging because I'm great.
Fuck you.
There's a lot of different customization you can do into your car. And on the Steam Workshop, if you're playing it on Steam, which you are for now, until it comes out on Xbox One and PlayStation 4, I think later this year.
Yeah, I think so.
You can actually download things on the workshop and change up your car that way, have a lot of fun with that stuff. And I believe there's even mods that go even further into it that change like the way the ejections work and stuff like that, which is a lot of fun. Because if you crash at a really high speed, you're going to go flying out of your car, which is really fun. Honestly, that's one of the most fun parts of the game, is just to watch yourself go flying.
Always good.
And they have a track editor so that you can create your own tracks and download other people's tracks as well. There's a lot of customization, and they want to build this game for replayability. And that's exactly what this game is. There's also some fun multiplayer that you can do, but I will say that it's a little laggy. So, not laggy in the sense that you're behind and stuff, but the sense that sometimes when you hit an enemy, it doesn't really register that you hit them, because on their side, they're not exactly where they are on your side of the screen, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So there can be issues with that, but I'm sure that they'll be worked out by the time the game's fully released. Because I think it is fully released, isn't it?
I don't know. You're the one who covered it.
I don't see the early access thing, so I think it's actually out now. But there's still hot patches going out for it. So.
Yeah, so games are never finished these days.
Exactly. But it is fun, and there is FPS dips. I've noticed that much as well. And the game does not want you to quit. If you quit the game, it freezes my computer every time I try.
Weird.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. So there is a workaround, though. Don't quit the game. If you never quit the game, you don't have to worry about it freezing your computer.
Now, is that a widespread issue, or is it just something goofy that you ran into?
I'm not sure if it's widespread. I know that I haven't seen anybody else really talking about it, but they've talking about other times that it freezes, like when they go to the garage, it freezes the game. So it's possible that other people experience the freezing there too, but I haven't seen anything specific to the crashing when you close.
So some lagginess and a couple of weird glitches and hiccups aside, $45 on this one. What do you think about it?
I think $45 is a little steep, but it is going to be fun. And I see where it went, all the money went for development with the just the technical and visual design.
All the damage.
So, yeah, I think that's where I went, because that's what they want. They don't. You don't call a game Wreckfest unless you want to. You really want to show the wrecking side of the things.
Very true. So your official verdict on this one?
I would say a recommended try it, just because the price is a bit high.
A recommended try it.
Hey, that's how we used to do things. I'm sorry that you're so new that you don't know anything.
No, moron. She said recommended, like wrecking.
I don't care. I don't take back anything I said. Fuck you.
Carnage might be proud of that one. Oh, my Lord. All right. Well, CJ, always good having you on chatting. We're going to let you go so that you can figure out what the fuck is going on
Stop
with your
lying
computer.
To that boy, by the way.
Yeah,
I don't. You think I have fun coming back? You should see Joe when he sends me messages. It's basically like, please, please come back and do a review for me.
Mr. Greenwood, we miss you so.
Man. I couldn't even post half the things online of the things he sent me. So
yeah, most of them are fuck you. You're awful. Why did I ever have you on?
Why do I keep bringing you back? You're a bad drug. I can't quit. Stuff like that.
Good stuff. But we're going to let you get going so you can enjoy the rest of your night. Do you have any final words?
Nope.
I'm thinking that one might have been intentional.
Probably.
I don't know, but he hung up. All right. Next game to talk about is called Anima, Gate of Memories, The Nameless Chronicles, developed by Anima Project Studio, published by Badland Games, released June 18th on Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC for $19.99. Also available in the bundle with the first game for $29.99. Anima, The Nameless Chronicles is a third-person action RPG that tells the story of a man without name, an immortal being cursed to walk the world until the end of time. When a shadow of his past rises again in his path, he will be forced to take part in a conflict in which the very existence is in question, but... .. That is ominous, don't you think?
A little bit. .. never ends well.
No, not really. But we're doing like a dual review on this one. I know you covered it, and Dark Mika covered it as well, and she wrote in a review. So I figure we'll read hers, and then we'll see what you have to say. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right. Anima, Gate of Memories, The Nameless Chronicles is an RPG light hack and slash action game. You play as the Nameless Wanderer. You're an immortal who, from my personal experience, you could still, you know, die. So how are you immortal? Super useful skill there. You're immortal unless you're killed, unless you're saved by awesome plot armor, but that's neither here or now. This is a sequel to Anima Gate of Memories, though it's more of an expansion pack. It's really short. You don't have to play the first game to understand this one. These games are two sides of the same coin. In the first game, you play as a woman, and the Nameless One is in it. This game tells that same story, but from the Nameless One's perspective instead. These games really bring the concept of the adage, you are the protagonist of your own story, to life. It's the same overall story, but there's different information provided since you're a different character and a slightly different ending. I mean, the boss dies because that's what bosses do, but who kills it obviously is different based on the game. The game is, I think it's pretty, but it's not graphically all that good looking. It looks like an older JRPG, but it's still really pretty. Combat is really fun. Most of the game isn't that hard, but boss battles, especially later on, fuck. Just fuck.
I concur.
I spent 4 days working on two bosses. I could fight either as I felt. I spent most of a day on one and the rest of the time on the other. I'd been nearly max level with the best weapon in the game that entire time on top of that. It was fucking infuriating, but I finally beat it, so yay. Very similar to Devil May Cry during combat mixed with Dark Souls level of fuck you mixed in with some of the boss fights. Knowing when to dodge is important, so fighting bosses over and over until you know each boss's pattern and phases is really important, or you are fucked. I say this, and I play on easy, fucking easy. Even the devs say this game is hard on easy, so yeah, you'll probably throw a controller or two unless you're a Soulsborne gamer or you like playing DMC on the harder difficulties. The RPG light bit is that you get weapons and accessories to buff your character how you want, and you get to upgrade options as you level up. Options are what skills do you want to unlock and upgrade. Most of them are new moves. Movies, she says. New movies, which are overwhelmingly completely useless in boss fights, and some are passive buffs, which are fucking fantastic. That's the end of the RPG element. Story's really good. You're trying to stop the church from unleashing a super demon that one of their founders and you had fought to seal over 1,000 years ago or something. The battle with the thing had caused the world to band together, and the war with it had cost lives of a great number of humans and dark ones alike. Church now wants to use it to put a stop to the human wars that are going on by making them unite to fight against it. But they also want to control the super demon so they can simply make appear and disappear as they need to unify the lands. Like every story where someone is this blatantly fucking stupid, this is a terrible idea because it was sealed away, not killed, because it couldn't be killed or controlled. Fucking imagine that stupid assholes doing stupid shit need to be stopped so they don't kill us all. Anyway. Great, albeit a cliched story. It's 20 on Xbox One, PS4, Steam, and Switch. It is worth it. It's not too long, but the bosses will extend that time. There's also multiple endings to the game and New Game Plus to make getting those endings just a little bit easier. Not fucking much, though, because playing on New Game Plus increases the difficulty as well. So, fuck. Yay. Really enjoy the game. I was expecting it to just be okay, and it pulled me in immediately. There's a pack that includes both games on each of the same systems for $30 called Anima Gate of Memories Arcane Edition. I say get that version so you get both games, because you'll want to play them both after you start this one. What do you have to add on to that?
Speaking of the difficult bosses is where I really want to focus most. I glitched somehow in my playthrough, and I was able to trigger I'm not sure she's actually one of the bosses. It's the first boss encounter I had where I felt like something was actually at risk, though. I managed to trigger it before I had acquired the necessary upgrade to actually battle this boss. So the boss flies around on the outside of the arena, if you will, and she stays floating the entire time. She never comes in. She never comes down. You have to hit her with a ranged projectile. I don't have it. I just don't have it unlocked. I somehow managed to trigger this fight without that weapon. And so I literally can't do anything but die.
Wow.
And I just keep, like, I've tried everything under the sun to try to, you know, fight this boss with what I've got, and it's just not possible. I Jeez. Don't know how that gets through quality testing, because you'd think somebody at some point would have thought, what happens if you go in here before you go over there? And it didn't.
I wonder if there's something small you're missing, or if that's just a massive fuck up somewhere along the line.
I legit went and looked at YouTube videos, and I couldn't find anybody that was doing it without that projectile. And I have nothing. So I don't know. I am at a legit loss. Prior to getting to this point where I'm just like, realistically, I know the only thing I'm going to be able to do is start over and try again and just see if I messed up. And unfortunately, I just didn't have the time to commit to doing that again. But one of the things I wanted to add on to, though, is where she said it has Devil May Cry, you know, fighting combat is similar. I did enjoy that for what I got to play, even though it's not the most graphically, you know, beautiful game you've ever laid eyes on or anything. It did bring me back. I've been telling my husband lately, I was like, man, I'd give anything to get a new Parasite Eve. And there were moments where I was like, man, this is very Devil May Cry, Parasite Eve-ish, and I'm in for this. I'm enjoying it. I like the combat and the play style, and then I just fucked it up.
Nice. So your fuck-ups aside, $20, what is your verdict?
I do give it a try. And like I said, it could be that I fucked up somehow, or that it's just something that maybe needs patched so you can't trigger that fight without the proper gear. But
yeah, it just pops up and it's like, you are not ready for this.
Yeah, turn your bitch ass around.
Turn your bitch ass around. You were not ready for this.
That's amazing.
they can have that voice clip for free if they want.
But it's still a lot of fun. I do want to try to make the time and go back and try it again, because it was scratching an itch that I just didn't even realize I had. I was like, man, this is, it does fit that Parasite Eve Devil May Cry void, and it's a good fit for it.
Nice. Sounds good. I'm going to have to play this one myself. I really enjoyed the first game, so I might have to fire this up and check out the other half of the story.
Do it.
And thanks to No Time for Games for the 50 biddies. Yay.
Yay.
I appreciate you. We're almost at 9% of my biddy goal. We are so close.
That's like 7.89% more than you thought you were going to get.
It really is. I expected nothing. But next game to talk about is called Magical Brickout, developed and published by Cunning Force Games. It released June 29th on Xbox One for $9.99. In his quest for unending power, the evil wizard has captured all of the good fairies in the land and trapped them in bricks, which he used to build up his wicked castle fortress. With the help of his foul minion and a host of diabolical cohorts, no one dares challenge his reign. No one except for you. Cole, tell us about this one.
Oh, I am challenging this shit. Okay, so Magical Breakout is, it is basically your classic Breakout formula, but with a very sharp twist. So if you are used to playing Breakout, people call it all kinds of different things. You know that you have the bricks at the top and they move down, and you have a paddle at the bottom and you hit the balls, and your whole goal is basically just to break the bricks the best you can.
Mm-hmm.
There's that element here, but it's kind of merged a little with the whole Peggle layout. If you've ever played Peggle, you know that each level tells a bit of a story, and the layouts of the bricks and the pegs kind of flow with the background.
Mm-hmm.
That happens here. So everything is contained in a circular area, and your level kind of fits in with the background. And then things get crazy, because rather than having a paddle that you are moving around this circular arena, you are actually moving the arena itself.
Interesting.
So all of the bricks are your paddles, essentially. And the goal is just, the ball will start in the center and it moves up every time. And then from there, you just rotate the arena to hit as many of the bricks as you can. There are blue bricks, which contain the frozen fairies that you have to release. There are plain white bricks, which just give you a few points for breaking or kind of just serve as obstacles. And then there are red bricks, which can have power ups or power downs, depending on the level. One of the problems with the game, though, is that the backgrounds, which are all really pretty well done, and the whole premise of the layout of the level fitting in with that background and telling that story, it gets distorted the moment you start moving it. Mm-hmm. And so you can lose that background, and then the screen just kind of looks cluttered, and it can be a little difficult to see what you're actually supposed to be trying to hit. The other issue is that the collision detection for the ball and the paddles are not really as sharp as they should be. And this kind of leads to the ball like bouncing into weird directions that you definitely didn't hit it toward. It's not the most solid coating, if you will. And it's a shame, because otherwise it's really a creative little story and it's a lot of fun to play, but it can be frustrating when that ball just careens off into the abyss and you're just like, no, come back. That's not where I told you to go.
No, wait. No, I miss you. Come back.
Why are you there?
Go back. You are not ready for this.
Basically, one other major gripe, and it's more minor than major, I guess. It I guess if this is
make up your mind, is it major or minor?
Well, I guess if this is what you got for a major gripe, it's probably not that bad. But every time you start the level, you have to listen to a little bit of the story, and that it just pops up text, you know, dialogue at the top of the screen. They've used this weird, like, knockoff Harry Potter font and then made it yellow and put it in a black box. It's a little hard to read. And then you can't get rid of it. You can't skip it. So every time you fail, you've got to go through it again. And you're just sitting there, like, mashing the A button, like, let's get this over with. And you can't. And you're just like, please stop. I know. I get it. I didn't save the fairies. Let's go. But it's a testament, too, at the same time, that you want to get back into it after you fail. You're like, no, that was bullshit. I could do this.
I believe in myself.
Yeah. Somebody's got to have faith in me. And God damn it, right now, it's the fairies.
Nice.
It is really fun, though. And it was kind of a quick playthrough. I didn't complete it entirely. I got very close. And I did it all in, like, 2 sit-downs. And I was okay, well, that's impressive. There are 8 chapters, and each chapter has 5 levels and then a 6th boss level, if you will. And then, so there's quite a bit there to play through. And then bonus points, it has chapter select. You can go back and play that shit as much as you want.
Nice.
Which is good because it gives you stupid ass star ratings based on how well you did in each level. So there's additional challenges, of course, like, you know, trying to complete the level without losing any balls, or completing the level with a complete clear where you clear out all the bricks.
Well, there's enough to keep you busy.
You're going to be going back as long as you can tolerate waiting to skip past that horrible yellow font on a horrible black background. Then you're going to be, it's the designer in me that goes, this is bad.
Well, then for $10, what do you think?
For $10, though, I definitely give it a very recommended try. It was a lot of fun. It was good. It's not going to be like, it's not super pretty. You can tell this is somebody's, like, first attempt at art. But it's fine. It's fun. It's a good time.
I'd rather have something fun than pretty, necessarily.
Sometimes, like, you can just forgive it. You're just like, you know what? I'm okay with this because I'm enjoying beating the shit out of some bricks.
Nice. Cool. Next game to talk about is called Eventide 3 Legacy of Legends, developed by the House of Fables, published by Artifacts Mundi, released June 29th on Xbox One and PS4 for $14.99. Step into the shoes of Mary Gilbert, world-renowned botanist and guardian of the fern flower, to once again explore the mythical realm of Slavic fables. Travel the forgotten flying islands among the clouds to stop an evil sorcerer and gain favor of a thunder god. Save your kidnapped brother and prevent a catastrophic flood caused by the conflict between humans and ancient clouders. This is going to be another dual one with you and Dark Mika, huh?
Yeah. We're just tag teaming shit all over the place. You right are. Now.
This is the girl power episode because I don't have a single review of my own this episode.
Get the fuck out of here.
It's SGDQ week, so I ain't got shit going on for myself. I am just watching speedruns all week long. But for Eventide 3, let's see what Dark Mika has to say. Eventide 3 Legacy of Legends is a point-and-click hidden object puzzle game. You play as a young woman named Mary Gilbert, which is the recurring player character for the Eventide series. In this game, you're meeting with your brother to plant the flower from the first game. He's stolen away by monsters, and it's your job to go find him with the aid of new magical creatures, most of which you have help in your return. You know, for what a rarity and how much they seem to like humans, they really aren't willing to just fucking help. Always gotta fucking get something in return. Like all the games, you have a hint system that recharges, which helps you find items you need and lets you pass mini games outright if you want. The hidden object puzzles in this one were much easier than they tend to be in the other ones. Something they've been doing in most games recently are they write the names of the items to find in the hops, and I don't like that. Most of the time it's okay, but sometimes the name they have an item listed by isn't what it's called in the US. Sometimes I don't even know what the object is because I've never heard the name of it. I'd rather all them be outlines of the items, which they still do in their puzzles as well, but I'd rather them be that way, which makes it easier for me. And it's all about her, obviously.
I have had that problem with other Artifacts Monday games in the past. Like, I've had to go and Google something and be like, I didn't know what that was.
Hmm. Like what?
I don't remember. It was like a shawl of some sort, but it had a very different, like, really weird word that started with a C. And I was like, the fuck is that? But it ended up just being like a shawl or a scarf. And I was like, what?
I don't know. Anyway, the voice acting in this one is superb. It's usually a mixed bag. Some characters are good, some are bad. I liked all of them in this one. Like usual, sometimes what people say sounds a bit off, but I think that's mostly because this isn't a US-made game. Something I have to say about this game, I love the faces, which sounds really fucking weird unless you've listened to our other Artifacts Monday reviews. The faces are usually just weird looking and it's hard to explain, but this one is fantastic. I was really excited when I saw the characters talk with each other because that's when the faces usually look really odd, and they looked fantastic this time, and I can't explain to you how happy that makes me. She literally spent a paragraph talking about the faces.
Yeah, they are dramatically improved. And that was one of the things that, you know, the whole justification for them raising the price on games was to pay for improvements in future games. And at least it was a very quick, noticeable improvement. Like, we just two games after they raised the prices up, we're like, oh, shit, the faces all look better already.
Which is good.
Yeah.
Visually, the game is great, like usual, but this one is almost completely bright and colorful. Usually, they have some pretty dark areas. This game is bright everywhere. Even the darker areas are all extremely well lit. Most of the games have a few fairly dark areas, not like so dark it's hard to see, but other ones that don't have much light to them. This one is, there's light everywhere. I think it's one of the better looking Mundy games because of that. That's a lot of text to spend on saying this game is bright. Really.
It is a big difference though. When you get used to the games, there's always some kind of like dark cavernous area or a dungeon. Even the dungeons in this one are like lit up with glowing crystals. There's a giant rainbow road. You fly a purple owl down. I mean,
holy shit.
It is very vibrant.
Nice. The only issue I had with this game was in the puzzles with the words. In the previous games, they were marked out or super darkened or something when you collected the item. That's with high brightness. In this one, I had to turn down the brightness to nearly the lowest possible setting to see which words were marked off. That was highly annoying, and I've never had to do that for an Artifacts game previously. Hopefully, they do some sort of update to fix that, or they go back to the older way of doing it. For most people, I'm not sure if this will be an issue. With my eyesight, I have high brightness on my TV, and I tend to turn game brightness up pretty high too, so I could see things easily. My settings are probably abnormally high comparatively. However, I've never had an issue with this in previous games, so they changed something with this one, and I really don't like that. It might also be because this is from the House of Fables and not Artifacts directly.
Yeah, this one was developed by House of Fables. Dark Arcana, I think, is the other one, the Carnival. That was developed by them and then just published by Artifacts instead.
Yeah. For $15, I think it's worth it. It's the best of the series. It's also longer than the other ones by quite a bit. The voice work in this is the best in the series. The visuals are some of the best of the Mundy games. I've not played just this series, but all of them. Now, if that's a bit expensive, it's also on Steam, and Steam has a lot of sales, so you can try it there. And if you like it, get it on Xbox One. I love the games, and I think it's worth owning the games on both systems. I have almost every game on both of them, so yeah.
I believe this one is actually available on Android and iOS as well.
Probably. I know a lot of them are.
I think it may actually be one of them. I want to say this is one of them that I have downloaded through Amazon where it's actually free.
How nice.
Using the Amazon Underground thing. I'm pretty sure that this is one of them that I have on my phone.
Nice. So do you have any other thoughts to add to Eventide, or did she cover it all?
The one thing I do want to point out that she missed is that this one doesn't have any alternative mini game to the hops. In some of the others, we've seen them have Mahjong. Again, those are typically more found more in the games that are developed by Artifacts Monday, although sometimes we have seen them in others that they've just published as well. But this one, again, it's they don't have anything in that regard. There's also no bonus chapter. It is just the main story, and that's that.
That's not too bad.
No, but it is a longer story than they typically are. So I was actually surprised because I kept getting through and I was like, okay, I'm probably coming up on the end. Never mind. There's another part. This dumbass got captured again. Start over.
Nice. So your overall thoughts for $15?
I do give it a buy it. I don't think that's particularly surprising in any way.
It's an Artifacts game. I think their record is near perfect, if not perfect, with us.
It should be. It should be. They're very good at what they do. Even when they bring in other developers, they follow the formula pretty closely. And it's not a genre that everybody's going to jump all over. I think the fact that they're just so exceptionally well done and the stories are interesting enough that you don't mind replaying. It's just easy to sit back and be like, you know what? I'm gonna throw a couple hours at this, get a completion, have a good time, and then I'll go back to shooting shit.
Works for me, or in your case, play a different adventure game, because the next game to talk about is called The Journey Down Chapter 2, developed and published by Sky Goblin, released June 22nd on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. In the second chapter, the plot thickens as our heroes plunge down into the mist below the edge and wind up in the foggy and treacherous town of Port Arthur, or R2, where they find themselves cornered by pirates and on the run from the law. Cole, tell us about this one.
You know, I think it's starting to become obvious that I like point and clicks.
Yeah, I kind of got that a while ago.
So this continues where The Journey Down Chapter 1 left off. We, at the end of that, spoiler alert, but we had Buona and Kido and the mysterious Lena with the book, the journal of The Journey Down. And they were taking off and getting away from the power company's goons, and everything was going well until they crashed. So when they crash landed, they wound up in Port Arthur. I can't pronounce it. Everything in this game is like very heavily Caribbean, and it's very difficult to pronounce. So we actually pick up the story here. And we find Buona in some more ridiculous circumstances that you have to point and click your way out of, find useful items in the world. A lot of the puzzle solutions are a little unorthodox. And that was true for the chapter one, too. But chapter two just really flies in the face of logic. It can be a little difficult to figure out the solutions. There are guides out there, but for the sake of reviews, I try not to use a guide. Yeah. And when I get stuck and I'm just sitting there like, the fuck am I trying to do here? Because logic absolutely evades everything that Buona does in this game. There's no sense behind any of it. That said, it's still incredibly fun. It's a larger area that you're going to play through, much larger than the accessible area from chapter one. I would say it's easily double in size, maybe even a little larger than that. Unfortunately, that means there's a lot of back and forth. And sometimes you'll find yourself in a position where you just can't get access to an item until you travel all the way across the map to activate a cutscene, and then you have to travel all the way back to the other side. And Buona is fucking slow. There is one plus side. You can, if you move the cursor so that you're going to go one way or another, to do that, you just push it to the edge of the screen in the direction you want to go, and an arrow will appear. If you press that and then you double click it twice really fast, it'll speed up and you don't have to watch the slow ass walking animation, which is nice, but then you have like it kind of hangs and there's a little bit of a load time without any kind of icon to let you know that you probably should have just watched the walking animation. Thankfully, they have eliminated the speedrun achievement in this one. There was a speedrun achievement in the first chapter that is the bane of my existence. You had to complete it in 45 minutes or less. And with that slow ass walking, you just wanted to strangle Buona by the time you were anywhere near done. And only to find out that you were like 45 minutes and 13 seconds or some shit because he walked too slow.
Yeah, I remember that was one of the things you didn't like about the first game.
I don't like speedrun achievements ever anyway, but in a point and click, it's 10 million times worse. So it's gone. You can get the completion in this one, and you can do it at your leisure.
Nice.
Which is good, because like I said, it is a much larger area with a lot more back and forth, which is really my only complaint about it, other than some of the puzzles being completely illogical. It is a lot of fun, though. It continues out the story. It fleshes out the characters some more. There is a dramatic upswing in the world, the visual appearance of the world, and like the lighting and everything looks a lot better. Buona and the other characters, they feel more like they are a part of the world rather than just like a character sitting in the middle of an art piece. although it is a little quirky at times, if Buona is looking around, his character model just kind of hops in a circle as opposed to just turning the head to look. But otherwise, it is an impressive upgrade. You can tell that they really worked hard on it. After you beat it, you get access to a little making of documentary, and there's some really interesting information. The man responsible for the soundtrack passed away while working on Chapter 2. And so the game is dedicated in his memory, and there are some really interesting clips and information about the process and his fight with brain cancer while developing it. There were periods where they were developing it while sitting in campers and working at internet cafes and stuff. So it's an impressive feat given how much it was an improvement over the first chapter.
Nice. So overall, $20 on this one?
I do give it a very high try it. The price is a little high given that it's not longer than it is. I think if you're going to bother buying any of them so far, you're probably just better off if you buy all of the chapters. And I haven't done chapter 3 yet, but it just, with what I know from 1 and 2, it feels like you should, there's not really any reason to buy any one chapter and not the others.
Yeah.
You're not going to get enough of the story to make it worth it unless you just buy it all.
And I'm sure we'll talk about the chapter 3 probably next week on the show.
Yeah. Yep. I'm not sure what the actual release date is on it.
I think it's next week.
Is it? Yeah. Fantastic. Then I get to finish it off.
I believe so. That's what True Achievements was saying. So it should be either next week or the week after, something like that.
Check in True Achievements. What are you, CJ?
No, I'm Carnage. Pun. Anyway, final game to talk about tonight is called Deluded Mind, developed and published by Pikeston Studios. It released June 15th on Steam for $12.99. You wake up at the psychiatric institution, Hillstone Asylum, and find that you've been given a potent hallucinogen, I hate that word.
Hallucinogen?
Yes, hallucinogen. I don't know why I struggle with that word. It's like protagonist. I always struggle with that one, too.
Protagonist? I struggle with that.
I always want to say protagonist, and I don't
struggle
know why.
I struggle with the word fire.
Yeah, I know. Far. Struggle with far.
And snapper.
Snapper fired at me.
No, he fired at me, goddammit. And he was in a winder.
In a winder. Oh, my God. I'm surprised you don't say water.
I don't say water. I say warsh, though. Like, I have a washing machine.
Yeah, that doesn't shock me at all.
No.
Anyways, you cross the corridors of Hillstone Asylum, you notice that there's something wrong with you. The hallucinogen shows its effects and literally puts you in hell on Earth. So this sounds like if it ever hits console, it'd be up your alley. But Dark Mika covered it because it's on PC, and this is what she's got to say. Deluded Mind is a horror puzzle walking sim. In this game's case, the horror is jump scares out the ass. Cole would have probably loved this, and she probably would have
Probably would have feared Pete. Granted, I also think she'd fear Pete over Scooby-Doo episodes, but whatever. Ooh, she's calling you out.
I don't get scared by shit. That's part of the problem. Like, if I fear Pete, it's actually accomplished something because I'm just sitting there like, oh, wow, it jumped out and maimed everybody. Okay, next.
In this game, you play as an FBI agent named Dean. He wakes up somewhere and he has to find his way out as he hallucinates bad shit. The lighting in this game is something some people will hate. There's three ways this game lights things. One way is that it's lit up by lights, which is normal and good, and everyone likes this. Another is the dark areas that if you turn up the brightness, you can generally see what's around you, which is, again, normal and people like it. The last is the dark areas that have no lighting, no matter how much bright, no matter how bright you make the game on your PC, it will always be pitch fucking black until your character gets a light source to light up the area. Most people, including me, really don't like this. The last option is what a good chunk of the game is. The light sources are a flashlight for a little while one of those attachable camera flashers, the camera flasher has to recharge and that kind of sucks. If you have photophobic seizures, you can't play this game safely. The models for everything are somewhat basic, which doesn't bother me much in these games, in these Escape the Room games, which is really what, I can't talk.
English are hard.
Which is what this really is on a slightly larger scope. I'm in these games for puzzles, not looks. It really shines a bad light the few times you see human characters, which is rare, because they, my poor already mostly blind eyes, they nearly bled. Everything else is a mixed bag visually. Some things look nice, but lots of things look generic. The voice acting is, on one hand, the guy speaks generally well. On the other hand, everything just sounds off because of what he says just isn't quite right. But let's get to the important thing, the puzzles. There are a bunch of them. Most of them, sadly, are simply find the key to unlock the door to continue, which is less than thrilling. However, sometimes there's a really good puzzle. There's one where they pay homage to P.T. In the end of that, you have to use the controls to change a sign, and they're both in different areas, so you have to run back and forth. It was really fun. There's another where you have to listen to Morse code to figure out a key code, which again was really fun. Times like that, the game really shines because those puzzles are damn fun. The jump scares, albeit they don't scare me much. I did jump a couple of times, and I'll admit that. Even though most of them didn't scare me, they were still really good. Apparitions fade away like dust a few seconds after they appear, which is usually right out of the corner of your eye, so by the time you turn to see what's up, it's already gone. Other times it just poofs right in front of you, making you jump, and then it's already gone. Great thing about this is these things change each playthrough. The ghostest stuff is randomized each game, so are the placement of some of the items to make each playthrough a bit unique. Game is $13 on Steam. It took me almost 8 hours to beat, and I left the game numerous times for long stretches. The devs say it's a good 2 to 5 hour game. Just depends on your luck from random item placements to how good you are at solving the puzzles. I think the game should be priced more along the 8 to 10 range. I say get it on sale. There's only two groups that should stay away from this game. People with photophobic seizures shouldn't even come close to the game. There's too many things that can and will set off a seizure. The other group are those with severe hearing problems because of the Morse code puzzle. You have to hear to do that one, and every puzzle that exists has to be solved to beat the game. Everyone else, unless you are absolutely hate the escape room type games, you should get it when it's on sale, like 20% off or something. It's an okay game, and it's worth your time. After all, it won't cost you that much. All right, good stuff.
I need to play that.
Yeah, hopefully that one comes to console, because it sounds right up your alley.
It really does.
Really does.
Like, before Mika even said that it was up my alley, you were like, this sounds like your kind of game. And I'm sitting over here going, this bitch took a game I would have liked.
Yeah, but it was on PC.
I know.
And you said you can't really do PC stuff, so I didn't offer it to you.
My PC likes to spontaneously combust at the thought of loading Steam.
It can't be as bad as mine.
Ooh. Like, I don't even have... Like, the processor in my all-in-one is, like, Intel Celeron, whole bunch of random numbers. Maybe an M for mobile? I don't know. It's, like, a Frankenstein bastard love child of a laptop and a desktop together.
Nice.
And it's just held together by hopes and prayers. And I'm an atheist, so the 50% for the prayers doesn't even fucking work. Just the hopes. And I don't have a lot of those left.
Me neither. That's.
I did eventually, like, I put an extra stick of RAM in it, and at least now it doesn't, like, start smoking whenever I try to run a program.
So you know how I feel on my end, where every time I try doing anything while recording and streaming the show, the program's like, encoding overloaded, stop doing other shit ever.
Like, I borrow my daughter's Chromebook to actually record the show. A, because it's portable and I can bring it into the bedroom, but B, because it doesn't explode when I load Skype.
Which is always a positive. Computers which not is, exploding is good.
Which is a shame that my Acer all-in-one is just like, what is this program? Why are you doing things? Why? I don't understand. And then the little Chromebook is like, yeah, sure, we can do that. Do you want to load two windows? We can load two.
We could you do don't three. Need two windows? Fuck it.
Right? We'll get saucy. We'll load up a window and you can have three tabs on Chrome while you're doing this shit.
Yeah, I could probably get away with closing a few tabs on Chrome, but a lot of it is stuff that I need to keep open.
It's important to be able to Google during the show.
It is. It really is. And I can't even do that much anymore. So if people are ever hanging out and you want to help contribute to the show, donate, throw us a couple of bucks, drop some biddies in our chat room, give us a sub.
Subscribe.
Subscribe to us, anything to help make this show better, because I fucking hate my computer so much. I really do. I will, you know, if I get a game on any platform that I can't find any of you guys to review, I'll take care of it myself because I have all the other consoles. I can't do that on Steam because I don't trust that my fucking computer is going to be able to run it. And on Q, yeah. No time for games. Thanks for the 50 biddies who put us over 9% of the way to the goal.
Yay!
Which is 8.5% more than I ever thought.
I was threatening to, like, sell my husband's body on Craigslist, but then they got rid of the personal section, and now I can't even, like, use that as an income source anymore.
They got rid of personals on Craigslist?
They did. When that law was passed, Republicans were targeting sex workers, and so Craigslist is just like, yeah, no more personals, bye.
Huh.
Yeah, that was a thing. I didn't really go there for laughs on Craigslist, for the record. It's just a joke that I repeatedly tell, but now it's like it doesn't even seem funny anymore because Craigslist isn't even an option. And then people realize that it's bullshit. So I haven't found like an alternative joke for how I make money now.
I used to go on Craigslist to look at the video games for sale and to go to like the men's personals to laugh at the people who are just like, my 8-inch cock needs your love. Like, really? You think that's going to work?
None of them ever actually have 8-inch cocks.
Yeah, they always double it and then add two.
Yeah.
But on the note of dick size, that is it for this episode. Thanks again to Mike Lindsay and to Grant Henry for coming by and chatting pinball. Again, last warning you're going to get. If you are listening to this and it is still June 2018 and you want to buy any of the Bally Williams tables on the Pinball Arcade, this is your last chance to do it, because as soon as it hits July, those tables are gone for good. And if you didn't listen to the interview at the start of this episode, what the fuck is wrong with you? Go back and listen to that interview, because Mike and Grant are always a blast to have on. But that said, that is it for this show. Cole, do you have any final words to end it?
No, I sound better, though, if I did have final words to say.
And that's better final words than CJ had.